Well, you know what would be great is to stop using gasoline.
What the fuck's going on down there?
Hey everyone, it's WTF at TFW. I've got a content contributors sub-forum, secret sub-forum, topic list all ready to go in our super secret podcast thread. We're going to reference it. Hey Aaron, where's the front page gone?
The whole board is kicking up a database error, so apparently Star Saber broke the internet.
Fix it.
I'll start hitting it with a wrench.
Fix it. Fix it. Hi, Aaron.
Hitting my desk with actually my hand, not a wrench. Not sorry to ruin the magic of 20s radio, but it's not doing it. We need something bigger.
20s radio is nearly 100 years old. Why are you picking on it now? I mean, like that's like
it's not like it's gonna fight back.
I'm gonna
shove
you
pick
down
on someone.
The staircase in your wheelchair, kind of stuff.
Yeah, 95-year-old. Both those hips are gonna break. He's not gonna get back up and fight you.
That's just rude, man. Someone has to clean that up. Dark! Hey, TJ Omega.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go from that, so how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Excellent.
It's weird, right? We just had a birthday for my grandmother who turned 98, so she was there when all that was going down.
How would she handle a flight of stairs?
If Aaron asks you that, don't answer that question.
I live in Florida. Stairs rarely exist here.
He's collecting data. It's like Batman.
How about a deep step down out of the house?
He's trying to figure out our weaknesses so we can keep it all in an envelope in case we turn evil. But you know what happens? The frigging Injustice League gets that, and then all of a sudden Batman's fighting Lex Luthor, Superman's fighting Gorilla Grodd, cats and dogs. What a mess. Thanks, Aaron.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We're here to do a Transformers podcast, and our topic list is currently inaccessible, so we're going to just wing it using the combined powers of Facebook, Google, and other Transformers websites, and thankfully we have a thing called New Pick Picks, which we can kind of just wing anyway.
And I got the front page to load.
You did?
I clicked it. It's up now.
I'm getting over to the topic list ASAP. Come on, refresh.
I don't know how long it'll last.
Front page is up for me. Oh,
I can't get into the boards.
Oh, sweet, sweet front page.
Can anyone get into the boards? Boards are still databasing app for me. Well, we got the front page sitting here. Look at that. Episode 347, now live.
Load everything in tabs. Don't let anything show.
I'm just going to wing this anyway. If I can't
boards,
have...
Boards, your Dragon Byte SEO database has encountered a problem.
Yeah, I just need the boards. We'll figure it out. But to start things off, I wanted to mention that Age of Extinction is the most valuable film ever made in 2014 in terms of money. But it's the most valuable film of 2014, and headlines like that make me real happy because they probably make someone else real sad. But it made the most money. It made more money than a single Marvel film. It probably didn't make as much money as Marvel films because they have more than one.
Yeah.
But there you go. If you're one of the, like, five people who were real upset that Age of Extinction got Razzies, then here you have a talking point to take into some pointless argument with someone. Enjoy. And we are all going to hopefully reap the benefits of that money in other things that have very little to do with the films, because the film toy line was super short and is already over. So I'm actually kind of surprised it made the most money of 2014. For some reason, I was pretty sure that one of the other spectacles going on last year might have ousted it finally, but...
Well, it's based on a profit margin rather than just how much it brought in. Yeah, much more expensive movies made.
I always assume Transformers must be pricey to make just because of all the ILM nonsense, but I guess they must have economic ways of pulling that stuff off.
Yeah, and I think by now they have a lot of that process streamlined, too.
Yeah.
We know the groups that we're going to go with. We know what they're going to do. Maybe get a cut on costs rather than some new company having to get it figured out.
They made a lot of new character models for the fourth film as well. Like, I mean, the Viacons were a whole lot of cannibalized character models, but because I was about to say maybe that's a way they saved some money, but they also made pretty much an entirely new Autobot cast.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe the CG is where all the money goes, because there are other places the films do suffer, and that might be ways to get around other costs. That's still, I find, a little impressive. I'm bummed out that the Lego movie only hit number 3, though. I was hoping that would come in second.
Well, again, it's profit margin. American Sniper was much lower budget, but yeah, Everyone went to see it.
Well, it certainly became a talking point. .. Most Valuable Blockbusters. I was about to say, I wonder if because it's Most Valuable Blockbuster, they're only talking about blockbusters, but then by virtue of being a blockbuster, that's what you have to be to make the most money in the first place.
Right.
So whatever.
Answers its own question.
Paramount made $250 million profit. That's pretty tidy. Someone outside's real stoked about it.
Yeah, they think so too.
But yeah, there's a full breakdown of other valuable blockbusters over on the Deadline. A lot of comic book movies did make that list. So we're entering an interesting, we are in an interesting age, for blockbuster film. As for smaller film, we're also in an interesting age. There was some cool small stuff that came out in the last year too, but I won't go too off tangent on that. The other thing I know that was on the topic list that I wanted to talk about was the news item right beneath that, which was 10 things we learned from the 86 Transformers movie's original cast and crew. Unfortunately, the summary of that stuff, I cannot get open. But I remember parts of it. Did you guys actually get a chance to take a look at this?
No. Make up some things for me.
Okay. A lot of it was, this whole thing was a Q&A that I believe was run by Topless Robot, and Realistic Videos on YouTube recorded the whole thing, but our front page news item broke down the Q&A textually, so I just read through that this afternoon. And the main things that were touched on there, like, there was a lot of pretty much confirmations, or at least, like, close retellings of stories that I know I've heard before at BotCons, so it's nice to see it all transcribed a little more clearly. This all comes with the caveat that all these dudes are pretty old dudes who worked on all this stuff decades ago, and there's a pretty healthy amount of, I think you're making some of that up in the way they're describing precisely how things went down. The biggest one for me being Flint Dilly saying that they were trying to figure out how to kill off Optimus Prime, and they were sitting in the lunchroom on their, like, 500th rewrite, and some comic book guy was coming over, because he was friends with somebody, and while this comic book guy was over, this comic book guy said, why don't you have him go out, like, with the 300 Spartans, where he has to fight off all the bad guys himself, and apparently that comic book guy was Frank Miller. I don't entirely believe that that happened, but no one can prove me wrong or right. It just sounds a little too much like someone fondly remembering something that happened like 30 years ago.
I think if someone is like as noteworthy a writer for comics as like Frank Miller, if he had a hand in anything that happened in that movie, I'm pretty sure it would have been known by now.
Yeah,
and that's a really weird tidbit to come out of nowhere after 30 years.
And I don't think it's anything malicious in there. It's just that these guys worked on a lot of stuff. And you can get caught up in a moment. You can also misremember things, or, you know what? That might have happened. But that particular tidbit, I remember me kind of squinting at it with one eye for a second, going like, look, I'll buy a lot of this, but... Okay. Another one that I do recall reading was, I think it's been said at BotCons before, but in regards to celebrity voices like Leonard Nimoy and Orson Welles, Wally Burr was saying those guys did come in solo on their own time, while a lot of the more working voice actors did stuff in ensemble. Apparently, Judd Nelson came in super worried that he was going to screw stuff up because he had no idea how the voice acting process worked on a technical end.
If he did it wrong, everything catches fire and they have to start all over at the beginning.
Yeah, apparently Wally Burr showed him how far away to stand from the microphone, and that made him completely at ease, or something else happened in there too. But Leonard Nimoy and Orson Welles came in separately on their own. Apparently Leonard Nimoy was very business. Apparently Wally Burr was like, do you want to know the profile of your character? Leonard Nimoy was like, all right. And then after they're done, Leonard Nimoy was like, all right, I'm ready to go. Go get the director and let's start. And Wally Burr was like, well, I am the director. Because he thought Wally Burr was like an assistant. And they also, through him and Michael Bell, they all reiterated the story of how Wally Burr line read Orson Welles. Because apparently Wally Burr would do that a lot. Like line reading people in order to get the performance he wanted. And I know he told that story at a BotCon where Orson Welles gave him an eyeball and went like, "Are you line reading me?" And apparently Orson Welles started doing his own slating so that Wally Burr would have no legitimate reason to interrupt him whatsoever. Because slating is where you say take whatever. So Orson Welles went like, "I'll do my own slating." So there was no way anyone could actually interrupt him. Apparently he was just doing his lines a little too slow. And so they had to grab some somewhat expensive machine that would splice his audio while removing as many silences as possible and not making his voice go up in pitch while speeding up his speech to make his voice fit the tempo of the scenes a little bit better. And that I entirely believe that could be the case because back then it was a bit harder to edit audio. I don't believe NLEs, like nonlinear editors, were super common back then. Let alone like digital ones that could account for stuff like that. Apparently Michael Bell's take on it was that he heard about the line reading thing and then Orson Welles died shortly afterwards. So Michael Bell started spreading the rumor that Wally Burr killed Orson Welles, which I am pretty sure could be true. Not that he killed him, but that Michael Bell would spread such a rumor. Cause Michael Bell's a fun, salty guy.
I don't know. Wally Burr, I could see him just losing it.
He had enough.
Yeah, just like momentarily, just like twitch, and then some fat famous guy's dead, and then like twitch back and be like,
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, what? Who did that? What's going on here?
So we're believing that, but not the Frank Miller part.
That's ridiculous. Yes.
No way a bunch of writers could bring in another writer to help out. No. But Wally Burr just absolutely snapped and
apparently Flint Dilley was also saying how he was brought in to work on Transformers starting in season 2 and that one of the things he was told is that they were supposed to try to make Transformers a bit edgier because they were losing the ratings fight and attention fight to GoBots. And I only got a little bit of a glimpse in it in the thread, but there were some interesting back and forths of people basically saying, like, some people saying, "That's ridiculous. I never even heard of GoBots when I was a kid." Then some other people saying, "Well, in my area of the States, I never heard of the Transformers. I only saw the GoBots on TV." So I think there might be some credence to that going by some of the differing accounts that there may have been some networks that were heavily favoring promotion of GoBots over Transformers and et cetera.
Those back when all those shows were syndicated, so it really would depend on if your local station picked it up and what time they aired it. You know, you might not even be out of school when Transformers aired, but
totally.
GoBots was on.
I remember that happened to me a lot as a kid. There were shows that would air at 3 o'clock and school got out at 3:10. So you couldn't see them. And I always wondered, I was like, "This is so stupid. What's the point of starting your kids block?" And I was like 10 at the time, so I must have been real smart or real neurotic. But I was like, what's the point of starting this little kids block that I'm supposed to watch if you're starting it while I'm still at school? Is what I sounded like when I was 10. The last major points I remember were Flint Dilley and Michael Bell were both talking about, or were asked about their reactions to the live action movies. Flint Dilley says he likes him, even though he knows he's not supposed to like them. He likes seeing all the stuff fly around, and he thinks the character designs are a bit messy because there are points where he has trouble telling Transformers apart, but he generally has fun watching them. It sounds like he has fun watching them the way most people do, which is, yeah, it's neat to watch. I don't really want to have an engaging discussion about it afterwards, but it was neat to watch. And Michael Bell says that apparently back when they started doing this whole thing and they were talking about getting original voice actors in, he had actively been pitching ideas like, what if you get a bunch of us surviving voice actors like as extras in a crowd shot or doing like bit voices in ADR or something. Apparently they never got back to him, so he never saw them. And he ended that answer by saying, "Were they any good?" Which sounds, again, like some classic Michael Bell saltiness. So... I thought this was kind of neat. This is the sort of thing that, me being a jaded in the fandom since the beginning, blah, blah, person, I could easily see myself being a total snob. But I really enjoyed seeing some of those answers, especially knowing what I know some of these guys have said at conventions. There's a lot of corroborating stuff, and if you weed out a little bit of the the foggier details, the core of a lot of these stories have been confirmed or at least corroborated over the years. So, hey, you know what? Good on Topless Robot for having a go here and doing some Q&A with these dudes. I can't recall any other major points that stuck out to me other than Flint Dilly saying Nelson Shin was a super cool director guy who never interacted with the voice actors because that's not how directing for cartoons works. I think that's really about it. So did either of you guys get a chance to see the Q&A written stuff, or was that about it?
No, each time I've tried to click on the Q&A written out, it's killed.
Yeah, I got to read it earlier, but I kind of skimmed it because I'll be like, oh, I'll go back and read it before the podcast so my memory's good.
Yeah, well, look where that got you, all that careful thinking.
Which one of us has working tabs open?
Not me. I didn't open any tabs.
I have the front page open. Anything I try to do past that is giving me bad gateways. So I've got the front page.
I got the front page too. And I remember the rest of the topic list now. Outside of the listener question, which is kind of, we may have to cover that next week because it's trapped inside the forum right now. Basically, in case people are wondering why it's trapped inside the forum, it's because I have a Google Doc, but when I put things into the podcast topic list, I cut them out of the Google Doc so I remember what we've talked about. And then it flies around to bite me in the posterior in situations such as this.
You could just get a new one off of the Google Doc and delete that one.
So here's the other thing that I didn't know if I should say, given how things have gone the last time I've said it, but Aaron, we are currently out of listener questions.
Oh, no.
And I just said that, so get ready for us to receive 10 or 15 listener questions in the
Hold on, here's what we can do. Go to Twitter.
Well, let's deal with that when we get there. That way we don't have a massive number of them sitting there whenever we do get there. Because first, we have new picture picks, and surely, even with just a front page, plus Google, plus everything else, we can find some pictures to talk about. Aaron.
Yes, sir.
Did anything stand out to you on this March the 20th, 2015?
There are a couple. However, I wanted to briefly revisit a topic that you gentlemen talked about last week.
All right.
About the robots in disguise at the Children's Museum of Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I went there.
Oh, no. Oh.
And chose not to get in there because it was going to be about $26 a person for two grown adults to get in there.
I saw your Twitter posts about that, and it's a bummer, but being it's a museum, I can kind of understand it.
The Indianapolis Children's Museum is a large museum, and this is but one exhibit inside of that.
Yeah, yeah. So museums
cost
money.
Terribly heartbroken about it, and I knew that it cost money. It might be something that I do at a later point in time. However, at least for the publicly available areas, they had a 25, 30 foot tall bumblebee.
All right.
That was like rotating. They had in the parking garage just across the Skybridge walkway, they had a Camaro, yellow Camaro with black stripes, parked there facing outwards, and it had some sound generating device hidden in or around it that was like occasionally having bumblebee-ish voices, but definitely not any bumblebee that we've had. Saying things like, oh, I wish I could go in and see the exhibit, but Optimus says I have to stay out here and watch for Decepticons. And
well,
I've tried talking to the other
Bumblebee.
I've tried talking to the other cars in the garage, but none of them are really conversationalists and things like that. We stood there for probably 3 or 4 minutes and didn't hear any looping of different Bumblebee-ish comments. But it is something that at some point I'll have a good first-hand report of it, but it was incredibly packed and more expensive than I wanted to spend, with Alfie still on the cusp of getting a job, maybe after she has jobbed for a while and I have jobbed for a while and we have some extra money. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you checked it out in person, albeit from a distance.
Yeah,
almost. Not quite.
There were hopes. We were in Indianapolis for Brick World, and thought, hey, that's like a mile away. Let's go check it out. Hey, that's a lot of money. A lot more money than I thought it was going to be. Let's admire from afar.
Yeah. Well, if anyone out there listening does get a chance to check out the exhibit, please let us know in the threads how you found it. So I'm genuinely curious. There's some really cool looking stuff in there, especially the designer desk stuff. So let us know. But Aaron,
yeah, that's what I wanted to check out.
I hope you get a chance somehow. Maybe maybe someone in charge is listening to this, and you can like guilt your way in, saying like, "Hey, it's for podcast coverage." You know, be total scum of the earth like that.
I'm media.
Oh God.
Well, I need to make up a media card to put in a jacket or something.
You need to have a little card in your hat.
Yeah.
You know, like proper classic press media. Outside of the Children's Museum that you almost saw, were there any other new picks digitally that you might want to talk about?
The one that made me really tilt my head in the fashion of a dog that's hearing an odd sound was the Platinum Edition Blitzwing and Astro Train. What?
Well, now we can see what their robot modes look like, so it all makes sense.
It does?
No.
Please.
It doesn't.
Please inform.
Okay, because if it made sense somehow, that'd be cool. But what? What?
Don't ask questions, Aaron. There's no reason to ask questions when we have majesty. Like, hey, you know what? That Blitzwing looks pretty cool. It's a really cool Blitzwing they're selling. And then he's got something else in the box, but I don't know. Who cares? That Blitzwing looks kind of neat.
Yeah, Blitzwing looks all right for what he is. The Astro Train has lost it.
Well, the Astro Train's just he's like so half-cocked.
It's like maybe in robot mode it is a little bit better, but...
But it's not. He looks even more like Astro Train, who started getting a really cool tattoo and then ran out of the room halfway through.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks... He's all half-cocked. He's like, I don't want to look too silly. Maybe just stop right now. Oh, well, now you look even more like an idiot, Astro Train. Good job. You could have at least looked cool.
Yeah, I saw these images earlier this week and had to do a whole lot of head scratching because this came from somewhere. Was it Spain or just?
I don't remember.
Spanish on it. I didn't quite get what the lineage of the photos were.
Let's see.
I don't know. Is there some other toy fair going on since it's toy fair season? And for whatever reason, they decided to reveal it in Toy Fair Mexico or whatever rather than one of the larger main market ones? I don't know.
I don't remember. All I saw that picture, and that kind of ended the saga for me. Well, I mean, we...
You just saw the picture, and you're like, nah, that's it.
We still haven't seen his train mode.
Oh, that might bring it all around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the game changer. It's not the game changer. What happened? I don't know. We got a shot of the Conehead 3-pack where they all look completely normal. So I don't know what happened.
Like,
this is the infuriating thing. Like the Coneheads look normal. The Insecticons look normal.
Someone who hates triple changers is working at Hasbro. That's what happened. No, I don't know. Like I said, that Blitzwing looks fine. I think that Astro Train is just something must have gone wrong. Maybe they had a plan and they couldn't afford the extra deco. Maybe they had to
do was leave it white.
Maybe they had to shoot the last used plastic into that thing for some of those parts for some reason. Because, I mean, that looks exactly like toy Astro Train white to me.
Yeah. I don't know. A lot of that stuff, it kind of runs that odd line of what, you know, well, like you said with the, my brain's going, sorry.
Bring it back.
You know, what plastic was left over or what had to mold share.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I don't know. It seems like year of whatever, platinum, whatever, just seems like let's drop some acid and whatever colors we remember as we come out is what we put on the toy.
I think I think platinum's entirely... an imperative of Hasbro Asia. So I bet you a lot of the stuff, like, I'm sure there's input from other branches, but it seems like Hasbro Asia, in that, you know, the GDO market or whatever, that seems to be the primary place that Platinum stuff's meant to go.
Yeah.
So there so might
are
be...
The, are the Chinese just dropping LSD all the time?
It might just be, like, colors that test real well or something.
That's okay. Like, that still makes it really weird why all the other, like, Platinum reissues would be the right color.
Maybe beige and purple don't test super well.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, well, like most of that stuff, this is probably going to hit an American store, and if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't mind Blitzwing, because Blitzwing does look kind of neat. But it's the fact that that's going to be the first reissue Blitzwing in the U.S., and it's not the right colors. Meanwhile, Astro Train looks like he's in re-entry upside down.
Hey, listen, if you've ever flown yourself back into the atmosphere, maybe that's the easy way to do it. I don't know. I'm out of ideas for those things. I want to see them in person. The only thing that could possibly... It's not even going to save it. It's just going to be like, well, that's neat. As if that orange is like a real super interesting, like refractive or glittery orange plastic. Like, if there's something to the plastic in that orange...
That might change it.
Well, it won't change it to the point where I'm like, well, now I got to get it. But at least it might make the orange make more sense. Like,
yeah.
That orange needed something else crazy to go with it to really just lean into being, like, kooky colors. If it was super kooky colors, hell yeah, let's do it. Why not? What else are we going to do with G1 molds except run them in the same colors over and over again? But that's not what happened. It's all just so half-cocked. I mean, like a gun, not like a penis. Yeah, I don't have anything else to add to that. Anything else you wanted to really say about it, Aaron?
No. That was just the source of eye bleed.
All right. Well, it seems like TJ's found our original listener question. So
yeah, the board worked
briefly.
It still works. Yeah, so I just like okay, well, fast and copy paste. Just make sure it's out there.
My Twitter feed is also bleeding a bunch of listener questions right now. I'm up to about 10. I posted some in the chat.
It's on the record that I said, why don't we hold on collecting listener questions until...
Guess what? The Google Doc can repopulate. You're welcome.
Oh, look at this. All right. I'll see if I can do that. well, it can repopulate, or it'll repopulate after we get like 50 listener questions after this one goes up. So we've opened up the gates.
I'm doing double duty.
Wait, what are you doing? I can't tell. I'm swiveling around in my chair. Hang on.
God. Come on, we'll be back to the days where we're answering things like 5 months out of date, and it'll be fun because we get to reminisce.
Yeah, it was good times. Well, TJ, have you got a new picture pick that you'd like to talk about? By the way, everyone, I probably won't have the new pick links in the topic thread because I doubt I'll remember to do so whenever the board starts working. But nonetheless, hopefully this 1 week we can all survive. TJ, what do you want to talk about?
I think what caught my attention the most was what is apparently being called Transformers Generation Cyber.
Yeah, well, tell me your take on it, because I've been putting a little bit of thought into that as well, especially after that Starscream that was in that Children's Museum exhibit.
Yeah. See, look what your 26 would have bought you. You could have seen it.
Yeah. Aaron, you could have had a real perspective on this news story. Yeah. Now you're just like us, a bunch of plebs looking at a JPEG.
Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to.
You'll be punished later, don't worry. This is bizarre to me. It's like, okay, I understand that to keep kids interested, to keep little kids interested, we need Transformers that are simple, mm-hmm. easy to play with, you know, not easily broken, few parts, you know, limited engineering, but still working, still functional as a Transformer. Got it. And the toys themselves, knowing how simple they are, like these are basically just big, like, legend-sized figures, they don't look all that bad.
I like the sculpts. Like, that's what I turn to on a big, simplified toy, is like, well, does the sculpt look neat? And I thought these sculpts looked neat.
Yeah. Bumblebee's a little wonky, but Prime and Megatron worked for me.
Yeah.
They're passable. What I don't understand is doing this kind of thing for the Generations line, where the characters are based on designs, and in some cases, all characters that are 30 years old, and most kids have no idea who they are.
Well, the original plan with that Starscream made sense when these were going to come out many years ago, when Generations was more of a collector line on the shelves that was, like, the only thing on the shelves. You know, it was like there was a whole lot of Generations on the shelves just full of these legacy characters that had no real accompanying media that was new. So the idea of this line would be, well, here's how we can reintroduce some of those characters in a kid-friendly way, because all these toys ostensibly would have already had their quote-unquote classics toys done. Mm-hmm. But at this point, yeah, it's kind of weird. And it makes me wonder, well, what's that Starscream? And does this mean that that Starscream is not aborted? And yeah. I thought that that was, or did they just table the project for a bit? And is it now just, it's time to bring it back? I'm not mad at all. Like, I don't see any reason for these not to exist. But it is kind of weird in 2015, especially with a new bridging kids property just kicking off in RID 2015.
Yeah.
It's, well, what it strikes me is, since we have like a product line like RID, which is very gimmick toy heavy, this might be some way of expanding Generations so that it can also stay in the kids market.
Mm-hmm.
Which, okay. Fine by me. Again, I don't know why you're marketing characters that only collectors remember to kids, but
well, the, yeah,
if they like the crossover and they like how they look, fine.
The easy answer to that, I guess, would just be, well, here's how we're going to introduce them to kids, so that kids might go like, hey, I like how that Optimus looks, or I like how that Megatron looks, and then their parents might go like, oh, well, that's a whole lot like my Megatron. Let me tell you, kid, about this one time Petro Rabbits, blah blah blah. It might be. I think I've even heard that said somewhere once, but it might be the idea that they don't know who these characters are, so here's how we'll introduce them. Or at least these images of them.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to run to buy any of this. But if it really does come out, that'd be cool. I don't know how to put this. I feel strangely skeptical as to whether these will be out anytime soon, if at all. But there are physical toys that have Photoshop colors staring right at me. So maybe, like, I don't know where I'm coming from when I say that. It's just really weird. And, I mean, this is out of nowhere. And we currently have a pretty decent rumor mill running. So yeah. That's also kind of cool. This sort of slipped through.
I think what's interesting to me is that it's pulling from so many different directions. Because you've got Optimus and Megatron, they're clearly G1 based, but mm-hmm. you've got two Bumblebees that are more movie and Prime aesthetic, and then you've got a Grimlock that molds like the original, but it's colored like the new one.
Yeah.
And by new one, I mean Age of Extinction new one, not new one.
The gold new one, as opposed to... I think also the two Bumblebees, like one of them is a 7-inch, the other one's an 11-inch. Because the first Prime and Bumblebee are taller, and I want to see what they look like in person, because if they're 11 inches tall and decently sculpted, that'd be kind of cool to see. Like I said, not like I'm gonna buy it too, but if that Optimus, like, you know, ends up with a decent looking sculpt and he's that big, like, that could be cool.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these do come across as like the upscales that we saw at the end of Beast Hunters. You know, if you look at the little Bumblebee, he's definitely got the same style of engineering, same similar legs. But, you know, this, what was cool about them was, like, especially if you got the Predaking, was it's absolutely enormous for the price, and it still works.
And the sculpts on the three Predacons were really good in those upscales. Like, Predaking, Twin Strike, and what's-his-name with the wings.
Flappy.
Their sculpts were really nice at their size. This only just comes to mind because I sold my two deluxe ones to Gerodimus. He just got them today or the other day, I can't remember now. And he was remarking on how nice the sculpts look. And it's like, yeah, those sculpts are great. They are not blown up. Like, they are re-sculpted on a digital level before they were reproduced.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll hear something about this at the very latest come BotCon, because there's no way we're going to get to BotCon and no one's going to ask questions about this. So... we'll see what happens. I mostly just want to know what happens with that Starscream, like if he isn't aborted, because that would be real.
That'd be really weird.
The precedent that would set would be kind of cool, because that would, to me, open it up in the way of, well, this thing that we kind of stopped working on 4 years ago, we're bringing it back. And it would make me say, well, maybe that makes, like, you know, an infinitely small scale hope for other aborted figure designs, like some of the final 6-inch titaniums and stuff like that. Infinitely small chances, but still a precedent being set.
Yeah, it does remind me of things like, well, one of the last times I remember this happening was Transtech Starscream. For some random reason, Starscream was the one they decided to produce, and then they cut the line.
Unfortunately, that Transtech Starscream, as far as I know, is still missing to this day.
I have not heard of it showing up.
Sucks, man. That really sucks.
Yeah, we didn't get that one. We didn't get the Marauder Megatron from Animated.
That I feel like there is a tight, like, that's the infinitesimal chance that I'm looking at is for some of the animated stuff, too. Like, Transtech Starscream is legitimately lost. Like, it's floating somewhere out there, possibly floating in the water out there somewhere. Nobody knows. But I think those animated prototypes are still physically alive. But they also were gray resin. They may have never made it to a molding process, whereas that Starscream looked like it was a test shot.
Yeah.
So there might have been steel molds cut for it. But yeah, it's pretty cool news, nonetheless. Aaron, do you have any thoughts you want to throw in on the Cyber Series stuff?
Not really. I think it's interesting. I'd like to see more.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, it's good. Wait till it's really in hand and around.
Well, I've got a new picture pick that I really want to share with you guys, and I don't want to say too much about it. And it's a Facebook photo, so I'm not even sure if you guys can see it. I've given you the link. I caught this on Facebook. I won't say where, because I feel like the more information I provide on this podcast, the more of a chance this actually might get in some legitimate trouble. But I was super glad to see this, nonetheless.
Ah,
somebody out there. Now, these are not cut sheets. These, you'd have to cut them yourself, but apparently there are guidelines, very faint guidelines, on the label sheet. Someone has made a pair of sticker sheets for $20, a small clear stock sheet, and a larger white stock sheet. Apparently spent a lot of time working on this. $20 plus shipping. These are stickers for, exhaust. These stickers friggin' say Marlboro everywhere. And the white stock sheet, there are big blank patches of white that you feasibly could cut into the shape of, say, a triangle in order to take one big middle finger and flip it at a big scummy cigarette company that we all hate for a much pettier reason than all the other reasons you probably shouldn't like them in the first place. So there is a Marlboro sticker sheet floating around that's aimed to go onto exhaust. It's expensive, but this is clearly a small operation running this. Repro Labels does not want to get the attention of this Philip Morris company whatsoever. This whole thing seems to be operating like just out of word of mouth on Facebook. I don't really want to spread the link too much, because I'm not sure if that would be causing a problem for the person working on this, but if you really want to track it down, like, it's not hard to figure out how to track it down if you know people on Facebook. I think this looks really cool. I don't know if I'm going to get it, because I like it, and I appreciate why it costs $20. It is steep for stickers, albeit they look like really well-done stickers. I don't mean to diminish it in any way. It's just in my own case, I'm not sure if I can swing it. But I love what this thing stands for, absolutely.
I do like that it does have the Marlboro.
Yeah.
That was what was on... was that actually on? That was
the original.
We're not using the actual name of the thing, but close enough that you can get what it is.
Yeah. There's a Marlboro and a Marlboro option on each case where you'd use it, which is great. this is the kind of sticking it to a bunch of jerks that I really do enjoy. Aaron, are you in line for an exhaust? I can't remember.
Nope. That was still in the I need money for anything but expensive Japanese toys.
Mm-hmm.
And the one place I almost reserved at up and said, yeah, we're not going to get any of them, so not going to happen.
Yeah, a lot of the stateside retailers got nailed with Phil Morris legal letters that probably could have been challenged at great monetary cost that simply wasn't worth it. TJ, did you, I think I just saw you saying on Twitter that you went Star Saber but couldn't swing exhaust.
Yeah. It turns out when you drop like 150 plus shipping to one toy, you can't really swing the others at the time.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that you haven't really got a reason to pick up this label sheet. But
no.
What do you think about the concept?
The concept I love. I love the defiance of it.
Yeah.
I love how it even has a Goodyear logo and say, no, that's fine.
Yeah, well, why? You know what? We're going to pick a fight with friggin' Marlboro, Phil Morris Company, whatever. I don't even... Do they own Goodyear as well? I don't know.
No.
Okay, well, thank goodness. But yeah, why not throw another one on there? Yeah, I really appreciate this. And if it is floating around long enough, I might end up just getting one anyway. But I really love the gumption behind it. I love the defiance, as you said, and I don't know. I've been saying for several podcasts that I just hoped someone would do this, if just to entirely bite their thumb at Philip Morris Company. So, hell yeah, good work. As I said, if you want to find it, just go Googling and go Facebooking. It shouldn't be too difficult to find, unless it did get shut down, in which case you probably won't find it. Anyway, that's our new picture pick section. Were there any other pictures this week you guys really want to talk about? I don't want to cut it off while we're sort of floating along here. There were a lot of photos this week.
Video review for Star Saber. I still haven't had the chance to watch.
I'm not looking.
Turns out it's Star Saber and really cool, I guess.
I'm going to wait. Did you guys see Perfect Effect have thrown up some updated shots of their Combiner Wars stuff?
Yeah. I saw the jets. I didn't see. I thought I saw somebody talking about one for the Stunticons as well.
Yeah, they released a full photo set of everything. The biggest thing that I should probably say, given how I was talking about it before, the hands and feet do look like they've been tweaked a whole bunch. The fingers just look a little bit meatier to me, and the ankle tilts don't seem like it seems like they've altered the ankle tilt clearances for the actual toys that we'll be plugging into them, which is kind of cool. But they are also releasing sets with a new head for each combiner and a new kind of midriff for each combiner. The Motormaster one is the one that I think a lot of people are looking at because he's the one who really needs the help. And he basically gets this body cast that gives him an entire new midriff and crotch, as well as the boxes on his shoulders. And it just turns into a funny-looking backpack thing that can stay attached to Motormaster. It looks like it stays attached to the same point, so you don't have to remove it for both of his individual modes. But you do have to pull it off when you turn him into a torso.
I'm not sure where it would stick on him in that particular mode.
I don't know how it sticks there, but it clearly is stuck to the same spot, at least. If it's able to stay on there as a backpack, is what I'm saying.
I guess there's a... There might be a spot where I can clip on because there's no peg holes or anything on that side.
There are two little tab things.
Oh yeah, because that's going to hold that whole backpack.
Hey man, they might be real smart at this.
No, I'm thinking like the side.
Because I've got Motormaster in hand, and that was Blackjack jumping ship again.
Yeah. You're not the only one with Motormaster in hand right now.
You could do it if it was something where like you brought the sides together before clipping the arms into the back of the shoulders.
Yeah, something like that.
You could probably get a very strong connection, actually, with as well as this all eventually locks together.
What I was looking at was, like, the back windshields where it has that really, like, sharp ridge.
I don't have a Motormaster, so I don't know what you're talking about.
On his backpack, there's a part where it would be his chest if you don't have Blackjack, and there's these really sharp ridges on the side that are like windows in vehicle mode. And it's like almost the way they kind of jury-rigged a bunch of stuff for City Commander to just latch onto those sharp edges.
Yeah.
You know, that could hold it.
I also really want to point out that I love the addition to his weapons, because I've seen what Motormaster's accessories are like. And it's kind of cool that the weapons try to split apart, except when it's split, it doesn't really look like a gun, and it just looks like a half of a sword. Mm-hmm. So I like this approach where you just leave his sword together as a sword, you give him this new gun, then you split the existing sword and stick the gun in between the two parts to lengthen the sword while maintaining the same aesthetic. Like, I think that's a cool solution. To say the least. The only thing that I think is a bummer is I think that Perfect Effect's new head for Menasor doesn't look like Menasor whatsoever. it really doesn't look like Menasor at all to me. It just looks like a guy. Like, he doesn't have horns. Like, it has quote-unquote horns.
It's Greg. It's not Menasor.
It's Greg.
He has the tiniest little, like, it looks like Prowlestator's head to me. It looks like
that's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder if maybe that's the idea behind this head, is it's actually maybe something you can stick onto an eventual, I can't understand how that head is sculpted in a way that it's supposed to look like Menasor, especially when it's an add-on piece and there's so much room inside that cavity. Like, I don't understand the purpose of this head unless it's supposed to be Prowlestator for some reason. That's the only way that head makes sense, because otherwise it's like, well, the face looks better, but I don't, like, the existing Menasor head kind of has a dumb face, but he's got big-ass horns, and to me, that's way more important. So, yeah, I don't know about the head on this. The Superion head that they did, I didn't know about until I saw the whole gimmick of the swappable faceplate face. I actually kind of like that a lot. Because on that head, I also especially like the idea of giving Superion a ball-jointed neck. I think that's a great addition. The extra chest stuff on him doesn't really make sense to me at all, but it G1-ifies him some more and gives him a bigger chest shield, and I guess that's okay, but I could have done without that. But this Menasor thing, like this Menasor body cast, as I'm calling it, I am pretty interested in. There's no prices on any of this stuff yet. But I really like the group shot of the Stunicons, where you've got, like, the two guys who are legs just carrying friggin' twin Gatling guns like nobody's business. I think it looks really cool. And I think that the hands turn into a really nice-looking gun. Like, have you guys seen that? Like, the little purple guns they turn into?
No, the link I found apparently doesn't have all the photos you're talking about.
All I really saw was all of them on the back of Motormaster.
If that image link works,
looks absolutely absurd.
I don't know if that links.
Okay, yeah.
Everyone gets chain guns.
So yeah, the two, like those. Yes. Each pair of chain guns is a foot, but you see, like, Dead End and Dragstrip have got those just nice looking little handguns. Like each, like that single handgun, I believe, folds up into a hand. That looks like really nice engineering. I'm super into that. The chain guns are a little bit much. Given that you end up with two of them, but you know, I think that they actually look really good with Off-Road, because to me Off-Road's such a blank slate. He just looks like the kind of guy who'd walk into battle carrying a pair of friggin', like, skyscraper topplers.
Well, he's a new guy, he's trying to prove himself.
Yeah
You just hear this as it spins up,
and this building and just sort of like Swiss cheeses through the middle and falls over.
It's the easiest way to knock down buildings, is you just cut them in half.
Yeah, with bullets. So I think this is a really nice opening show, just in terms of stuff that could augment the Combiner Wars toys. I'm sure there will be more options like this. Like, I can't see a world where Perfect Effect are the only guys to try doing this. But what they are doing is turning out way better than I thought it looked when they showed the first prototype pictures. So I'm all stoked. I'm all ready. I want to get a little bin of goofy add-on stuff for Combiner Wars. That's about it for additional picks on my end. Anything else you guys want to talk about, or shall we move on to convention talk? I got convention talk.
We can talk conventions.
Yeah. Auto Assembly 2015 is going to be the final Auto Assembly, because all the folks running it, they basically said, all the folks running it, they are growing up, they're running out of time, they all have their own health things to deal with as well, and it's just become too much for them to run the show every year. And that is an entirely respectable thing to say to end your convention run, because that is a self-awareness that is very important to have about yourself. I think it sucks for a lot of the UK folks out there, because Auto Assembly really has become a massive event for the UK Transformers fandom. That I really had hoped to attend at some point. I just don't see myself able to make it this year. And that's it's a real bummer for me, because I have really wanted to make it to an Auto Assembly. And I am sure there will be another show. Like, I am sure Auto Assembly will have a successor, but it may take a year or two. I know there are already meetups that happen in the UK all the time that may evolve into something, but the pedigree and the name and the legacy of AutoAssembly is a very impressive thing to look back on, and I wish all those guys all the best.
Yeah, it's actually, I think, pretty noble, because I've seen plenty of things that start out as a fan deal that become a more maybe business-like, then kind of get a little bit bitter or jaded, and I don't even like this friggin' thing anymore, but I have to do it every year, and it loses that spark. And at least by saying, hey, you know, we know that this is going to be the last year for it, we can put one good last hurrah in for it, and maybe somebody else can pick up a torch and run with it, rather than having these people just keep doing it out of some sense of necessity.
Obligation. Yeah, necessity. Yeah. I don't even know if they're going to hear this podcast, but I think that they clearly have looked at the state that they are in, that their lives are in, and there's no way that... Oh, they're right
exactly.
Outside. There's no way that was a decision they would just come to overnight. So I completely respect what they're doing and what they've decided to do. And I've seen a lot of the folks I know in the UK seem to be taking it hard but well. No one's lashing out at them, as far as I've seen. A lot of folks are understanding, like, because a lot of them go to those shows. They see the effort that goes into those shows. So all the best to all of our friends over in the UK, and I hope that a new legend can begin in 2016. But that's death. There's also resurrection of a sorts. So TFCon USA is going to happen again. Not in Chicago, though. It's moving to Charlotte. Charlotte, right? Or is it Charlottetown? I always forget.
Charlotte.
Charlotte. It's moving to Charlotte, which is in North Carolina. And this is when I say resurrection. Apparently, it's happening with the help of the former Charticon staff, who are going to be, I don't know so much taking the reins, but definitely becoming a big part of the staff for this year's TFCon USA, which is happening in October, if I recall correctly, over in Charlotte, North Carolina. So you can find out info about that if you want to check it out. But I saw a lot of reaction of people who were really happy to hear the name Charticon being dropped and seeing those staff get involved with that. So that's AutoAssembly news is a little bit bittersweet. This TFCon USA news, I guess, is a little bit sweeter. I don't know what the opposite is. I give up. But that's kind of cool news. Aaron, how's TFCon USA looking for you this year? I know I saw you on Twitter saying conventions just ain't looking too good this year.
Yeah, and it's actually a Twitter conversation with Stan right now.
Oh, geez. I'm going to go and eyeball you guys talk like a creep.
No, I'd like to go, but in doing the math, the money that would be saved between not going to conventions and time I'm not having to take off is significant. And it really sucks that I got to do math that way, but this last year of cancer treatments for Andy Rube, that unfortunately the cancer's into his lungs now, and so we're having to do different things and trying to decide what to do, what not to do. It might be where I have to do the adult thing and not go to a show and save money and pay off debts, and that sucks.
Well, I'll put it this way, Aaron. I think you have been going to at least one show every year for at least 12 plus years.
Yes.
So I think that if you miss stuff this year, I don't want you to miss stuff this year, because
I don't want to miss stuff either.
But I think that you have built up enough street cred that it's okay to miss a year if it is necessitated.
Okay.
That's the way I would put it. This is how I justify potentially skipping BotCon for the last couple of years, even though I ended up not, because everything fell together.
BotCon is the one that I might make it to, because it is a drive away and the same weekend as another convention in the same city area.
And how kooky is that, if the one show you make it to is BotCon?
Yeah. It would totally be a walk-in on Sunday, but that might happen because it's in Chicago and that's very drivable from here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm just trying to refocus and get as much overtime as possible. And maybe if overtime goes crazy in the next 2 to 3 months, TFCon will be definitely back on the radar. I'm going to work hard for Canada A because that's TFCon Classic.
Well, do what you can, man. But speaking as a big fan of it, I just hope that you're able to do Extra Life. That's the main thing I want to see.
Oh, Extra Life will happen regardless. That's going to be happening here in town. That's nothing that I'm going to miss. And hopefully all of the gaming gang can come and anybody can come. Heck, I'll make it clear where it is and we'll make a party out of it. And that might just be Aaron's bro experience.
Aaron Khan.
Yeah.
You should charge admission.
Yeah.
And not give it to charity. I was actually just catching up on the Giant Bomb Extra Life stuff that happened while we were doing stuff at TFCon. And it got me all in the spirit again. So, that was on my mind. Yeah. DJ, you got any thoughts on these convention developments? Were you raring and aiming to go to the United Kingdom for a Transformers convention anytime soon?
Every now and then I'll talk to someone from the UK where it's like, yeah, you should come over. It's a great convention. Like, I can't afford to go to BotCon most years. Why could I afford that? It's always like one of those pipe dream things where it's like, well, it's that far out, but it's that unique of an experience. If I had the chance, maybe. But it was like just that. Like, I never got my hopes up thinking I could actually make that trip.
Mm.
But that is really unfortunate because I've got a lot of friends over there that, you know, are really all about auto assembly, and to see that go away is just ugh.
But I mean, there's such passion over there, and the UK Transformers community has such a special kind of bond. Like, I can't see them going more than a year without a new show rising up somehow.
Yeah, there'll be something.
Yeah.
Auto reassembly.
Oh, man. So here's the thing, actually, that I have a big question about. If someone does take the reins, should they continue the name of Auto Assembly, or should they start a new name? Because I remember back in 2004... I felt very passionately the BotCon name should continue, but I think Auto Assembly is a much different thing than what BotCon was even before it became the official convention. Yeah. I feel like it would be kind of weird.
BotCon being official and having that lineage, I think that's important to keep, but when it's fan-produced and when it's something like that, I think what you name it and what you identify it also comes with the identity of the people who created it. So it should probably be a new entity.
And I feel like there would be such a sense of discovery and like I said before, like a new legend starting if the next big UK convention also has its own name. I say all this like, you know, there's a total set science. So yeah, we'll just create the next new big UK Transformers convention.
Yeah, you can just do that.
Yeah, just snap your finger. Hey, listen, I'm over in Canada, okay? So we got a bigger country. We got more landmass. We know what we're doing over here. But no, I think that a new name would really feel like a refreshing, like, chapter two kind of thing. But I also say all this armchairing from a completely different continent, so I don't even know if I have a right to speak about it, let alone talk about it. Well, I don't know what they should call it if they bring it back. Because, you know, that affects me so much. but I thought those were both interesting pieces of news. The very... I don't know if this sounds wrong, but to me, the kind of the sad but not tragic end of Auto Assembly, and then the second chance for the Charticon crew, I think are both really interesting community news pieces. If you're able to make it out to any of those shows, let me know how it went. And that takes us to our listener question, which has been resurrected from being trapped on the boards. But we also have like 50 other listener questions through social media, which I guess I'll just copy and paste into a Google Doc. I don't know. I'll have a flip through them. See what we'll do, but our original listener question.
There's some good ones and some kind of crap ones in there.
Let's start talking about which ones are crap. No, let's first do this listener question. This comes from Ironhide's Ghost, who sent me this on Facebook. His question reads: "Quote: My girlfriend has begged me to appreciate the toys I have and spend less time thinking about what I don't have. This has spawned multiple sessions of transforming purchases from the last 15 years. She's right. I've already got hundreds of awesome toys to appreciate. My TF Source stack still has 7 new figures in it, though, so you know, baby steps. Is there a figure or set of figures you truly enjoy going back to, maybe even more so than when you first bought them? Or rather, is there a figure or set that you now understand loads better than you did when you first got it? He just got his he just got his perfect transformation done on his M3. He never quite got Diesel's torso mode perfect until the other day. So I think we've even talked about this when we were figuring out with what we got this week in a way to convince us all to stop trying to buy things just for what we got this week, that we could always pull down a toy we just haven't messed with for a couple years. And I have done that many times, just pull down a toy I've not messed with for ages and see if it still kindles something in me. Sadly, it all still does, so I still got all of them. But I got to think a little bit about a specific one that really captured me. I don't know. Aaron, what's your take on this? The situation and whether or not you have something that you've gone back to?
It's been a while since I've gone back to anything because it's been a while since I've reorganized my toy room, as it were,
mm-hmm.
Where I have a lot of stuff displayed. Last time I did a round of that, I got a good reappreciation for animated.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way that, for the most part, the transformations were pretty simple, but were like kind of like they talked, you know, how some of the designs were iconic. You know, Bulkhead supposed to be bulky, so he's short and stocky. He's shorter than most deluxes, even though he masses more. Or, you know, Blur, who's supposed to be this fast racer, is all just twigs put together because he's so skinny, so he can go fast. And the way that it was like you could look very much at the character and have a good idea of personality by the look of it. You know, I appreciated it then, but I think last time I rearranged things up there, I appreciated it more just because it was like you could really, really see it when you, especially looking at it all together as a set, you could see that it wasn't, you know, it's not a design aesthetic where, oh, everybody's all square mecha look. It's all very, you know, I guess all kind of cartoony, but each character was its own character, not like a shared design feel.
Well, the character design came kind of first in a lot of these toys. Yeah, my easy answer is actually animated toys, because I often end up going back to them years down the road and being re in loved with them, because I really like how that toy line turned out. I thought it was it's one of the greatest examples of a unified aesthetic and really strong just character-oriented design work. I was just messing with my Japanese version of animated Ultra Magnus the other day, and I really like a lot of that toy. I really don't like the robot mode shoulders, but I like everything else about it so much that it's like this great dichotomy of like, I have this big problem with it, but I also have these huge loves with it. It brings out a lot of feelings in me. And the Japanese one says, Magnus Hammer, which is kind of funny. TJ, what about you? Have you got a toy or set of toys you tend to go back to?
Man, this feels like a question I've answered before. It's just like, what toy do you just like pick up and play with when you just want to pick up and play with a toy? I could say animated in that way. I actually did just bring down my leader Ultra Magnus the other day to goof with.
Mm-hmm.
I think in particular one of the toys I always end up bringing down just when I'm in the mood to play, pose, and transform. One of the classic Mirage molds.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's one of those toys where we've talked about how classics kind of ages, and especially things like Rodimus and the Seeker mold. Mm-hmm. That Mirage is still so good.
It's one of the best figures from that line by far.
Oh yeah. Yeah, the transformation is really good. The posability on that is outstanding. I really thought it got some of the best repaints between.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like I just parted with my drag strip, unfortunately, just because I've got another drag strip now.
Yeah.
But Fracture is brilliant.
Fracture is the pinnacle of that toy, because the aesthetics of that toy are kind of weird, and I think that toy is a better Fracture than a Mirage. To me, anyway.
Yeah, it is weird. It's weird that a male Autobot could actually repaint into a female GoBot so well, but it actually works.
Yeah, I think it looks great. It's the most interesting deco, I think, of the three major ones.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anything non-animated, because I was going to say, I was thinking about it the other day. I mean, animated does not work for everybody, but I think that line really has some proven strength, given that it is now, like, that line came out in 08, the toy line anyway. It's now like it's going on 7 years old. Parts of that toy line are coming out again under Transformers Adventure. Animated AllSpark Almanac has an updated collected version with even more official input coming out like now. That line it's an older continuity, but it still has such a dedicated following. I think that there's something to animated that really worked. And this all was predicated on the fact that I got a comment today that really made me stop, on the animated Swoop video I did way back. Where the comment was, I had that toy when I was a kid, but my dad threw it out, and I really miss it now. And I was like, oh my god, animated toys are old enough to be that now. An eight-year-old who had an animated toy when they were 8 years old is now going on 14, 15. They're at that age where they start to remember that toy they had that their parents threw out.
No, because anyway. That means I'm old.
Right?
Oh,
I have recordings. I got recordings on my YouTube channel of me talking when I was, oh my god, But yeah, it really made me think. But I don't have them with me, but I go back to watch clips of their toys because the cartoon was basically just the toys. Cybertron is another really great line to go back to. And speaking unofficially, I was just recently messing around with Steel Corps, who's a couple of years old now, and I think Steel Corps really ages well, too. I like Steel Corps a lot. Fans Project's most original design figure, I think, that they've ever done. I dig that toy. So, and in general, yeah, it's good to appreciate what you have. I don't think one needs to fully go, like, cold turkey on getting new stuff, unless it is a major problem. I totally understand that. I probably have that major problem. But definitely it is worth, like, especially Transformers, don't let them just become parts of your collection that live on your shelf. Like, you gotta pull those things down now and then, you know, work back and forth through them and see if they still kindle something in you, you know? In my case, they always do. But it's worth checking now and then. So thanks for your question, Ironhide's Ghost. We got all these Twitter questions. Oh god, that question you got over Skype is huge.
Yeah.
That's not... Yeah, we're saving... I'll save that one. We got a couple of Twitter questions I think we totally could cover, actually. Ichabod's okay. About Masterpiece Unicron. How big? What else does he do? That's a real quick one. How big... If they're actually going to make him, he better be friggin' 2 feet tall and he better do everything and cost like $500. Because there's a precedent set now for that. Go look at Gigantic Action Scorponok, all right? The precedent has been set.
He has to be able to eat that one.
Yeah. Chew on vinyl. That's what I want. I don't know if you guys have any input on a Masterpiece Unicron. I don't think they should do one anytime soon. But if they do, it'd be pretty neat. When I was a kid,
it's a gimmick where it can actually devour rock.
Yeah, like a tumbler inside his jaw. As a kid, I always thought that he should be 3 feet tall so he could have all the little panels and stuff from his transformation sequence actually do that stuff that they do.
Oh, yeah. like right with the AA batteries in the transformation. Oh,
no, man. Current toy electronics just get a whole bunch of like 377 batteries just in every single major component of his body. Like $80 of batteries. Friggin' lighten that whole dude up. That would be... I want that now. That's what I want now. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, Transformers? That's what I want. Whoever it is that's making Kenner or whatever, that's what I want from a Masterpiece Unicron. Aaron, what do you want from Masterpiece Unicron? Do you want anything? Do you want a Masterpiece Unicron?
I'm with you. I'm with you on the eating, but it also then brings up the question of how does it get rid of what it's eaten?
Grind it up into a fine enough dust that there's a cork on his butt that you can open up and the dust comes out.
Okay.
If you add a bit of water, it turns into a sludge for easier cleaning.
All right.
I should work in the toy industry. TJ, do you want a Masterpiece Unicron?
I want a Masterpiece anything released in the first 3 years of this toy line.
All right.
And then occasionally something from Victory.
Well, I got good news for you. You paid for it already.
I know.
Anyway.
My wallet knows, too, and it's not happy.
We have another Twitter quickie from Kryn. He says, for someone who's never read any Transformers comics, where's a good place to start? I still think that the current run is a great place to start. You read Death of Optimus Prime, and then just start reading back and forth between Robots in Disguise and More Than Meets the Eye. When you get to Dark Cybertron, hopefully by the time you get to Dark Cybertron, you'll know whether or not you're into this. That's where I would put it.
That's not a bad answer. I always like saying for a short, it's Last Stand of the Records. It's a broken record, but that's a good six issue in and out thing that doesn't require it. It barely references characters not inside of the book. So it's not like, you know, it's something, well, this is what Starscream was doing over here. It doesn't matter. It's its own self-contained little thing.
And if you don't want to go in on a pair of ongoings, that's a quicker place to start. The quickest place to start is Spotlight Cup. That's not really indicative of Transformers comics on the whole. It's just a really cool little story.
Yeah.
But Last Stand always is a good go-to. But I think, like, if you're hearing about Transformers comics now, you're probably hearing about them because of the current ongoings. So they have such a good start, like such a, I'm not going to even say good, just such a clean starting point with Death of Optimus Prime, that it's like one of the greatest jump on points I've ever seen for new readers.
Yeah.
Where it just literally says, a big dumb event just happened and none of us know what happened during it. So here's what we are all seeing now. Don't worry about what happened before because no one knows what happened in Chaos. I keep finding out new versions of how much people don't know what happened in Chaos whenever I go onto Twitter and talk about Chaos. Devoid. I don't know, TJ, have you got any other ideas for kicking off points for Transformers comics?
Not really. That is a really good point. Failing that, More Than Meets the Eye carries its own storyline so well. I think you could start there as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you just wanted to read one, you could just read More Than Meets the Eye. I just think, like, if you're going to take the time to read an ongoing, might as well read R.I.D. as well, because R.I.D. wasn't terrible.
Saying nothing bad about R.I.D., but
yeah, like, I don't think it was on par with More Than Meets the Eye as a collective unit. Like, More Than Meets the Eye just had so much character to it.
Yeah.
But R.I.D. is a really great, especially in the opening run where it's just this crazy, like, political drama. Like, it's such a nice counterpoint to the space adventure theme of More Than Meets the Eye. And it's also just kind of cool that it's two concurrent ongoing Transformers series with, like, zero humans for, like, a year or two. Like, it's just this really nice palate cleanser. Speaking of which, I have a question for you guys. What are you calling the Transformers ongoing now? I kind of just call it R.I.D. anyway, because that's how I think of it. But it hasn't been a Robots in Disguise for months. And I kind of agree with Josh Perez that it sort of sucks that everyone's ideas, you know, the greater masses' ideas for new names are not R.I.D. or not More Than Meets the Eye. Like, all these kind of deconstructive names going, like, yeah, this is the one that's not this thing.
Yeah, I hadn't thought that much about it, and am not going to now.
All right,
I do feel bad because for me it is More Than Meets the Eye and the other one. That is really upsetting and disrespectful, and I'm aware of this because the other one is really good.
I just call it R.I.D. and then I put in brackets two or three question marks afterwards. because everyone understands what I'm. We haven't hit the point yet where I say that and someone's like, well, that's not a comic book that's out right now. Like, no one's going to get confused. And I think it really sucks. Number one, the new cartoon, Robots in Disguise, I already have to call that RID 2015 because there's already another RID out there. Now it's screwing with this wonderful, like, the two ongoing comics were the lyrics to the opening theme song. It was just such a nice little, like, nod and theme, you know? It's a bummer. But that we're going to be moving into Combiner Wars being a big event soon. It's already started. We got the opening shot. So everything's going to be a little bit funny for the next little while, except for More Than Meets the Eye, which is getting to skip the event this time.
Suddenly, I'm looking up old Transformer slogans from commercials to see which ones could actually be a new title.
Oh, me and Josh went through this already on Twitter. I was suggesting names like, what if you called it Transformers colon Autobots Wage the Battle 2? And then maybe later on change it to Transformers colon Fight the Evil Forces of. Just keep changing the name every few months to another line of lyrics.
Then you get to Transformers the Decepticons, and that might be spoilery.
Well, Transformers Decepticons or Transformers the Decepticons, like you have to sing it every time you say it. Josh would back me up on that one, I think.
That sounded right. Yeah.
I think the retailers would get really upset with that.
Well, you know what? I walked into a Toys R Us in the States and they were playing a Mega Bloks song for like hours. I think they can live with people singing when they buy toys. That Mega Bloks song is an earworm. And me and Kryn can't find it anywhere. We heard it 50 times. But it's not anywhere. On any website, any YouTube, any promotional channel, nowhere. We can't find the Mega Bloks song that we heard. And we don't even remember the words, we just remember how it sounded. And so it might have been a collective fever dream. But that's neither here nor there. Searchman DS said if High Moon Designs got revisited in Generations, which High Moon Designs you want to see get toys? Aaron, video game Transformers, what's one you want as a toy?
I don't remember the High Moon Designs that much, so sure.
Oh, man.
Some of the High Moon Dinobots would have been interesting to see.
Well, TJ.
We really got Grimlock.
TJ, surely you're all up in there on them High Moon Designs.
I've played those games so briefly.
Oh, man.
Honestly, I read that question and I was like, yeah, I was going to say the Dinobots too.
All right, I got an easy answer for everyone. Friggin' Zeta Prime. I want a toy of that insane megalomaniacal Zeta Prime. Give me that toy right now. There you go. I solved the internet. That's my answer. I'm going to leave these other questions for now. Let me see. So we got this one from Skype, so I got to put that into a thing. We got this Nick bot asking if we like
what you need to do is just find where I asked that question and then the 30 some odd replies to it.
I don't want to do that much legwork. I'm gonna copy. So we got this. Hang on. I'm gonna talk through this as I do it. So I'm gonna go open up a tab and open up the WTF listener question on my Google Docs. Not my Google Drive, mind you, my Google Docs. And so we've got this one here that came in through Skype. I'm going to copy that one into here. Oh, man. These are so messy. Okay. Then we got this one down here from Nickbot, which I'll save because we already talked about the movies today. We'll talk about them later. Okay, and then what else do I have? So I got those two out of our Skype conversation. That's it from the Skype conversation, right?
Yeah, that's all I got from that.
So now I have to go over to my Twitter where I was directed to. Oh, man. This question's one that we actually just answered. I'll save that anyway. Yeah, by the way, if you do want to leave us listener questions, the usual means to do so are my private message inbox, because then I get a date mark and everything, and I'm not copying Twitter messages. But there's nothing wrong with copying Twitter messages. This is how I know these ones were from that dark day that you guys opened the Twitter vault.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I guess, yeah, if I neglected to say thank you. So thank you.
I knew you meant it.
thank you so much for sending it. Because I want to mention, if you do send me listener questions via Twitter, there's a really good chance that they will end up being forgotten because I might be on my phone when I see it, and then I won't remember to put it in the Google Doc. So if you really want one to get onto our queue, send it to me in a private message. That is the safest way. All right, now I got a page of listener questions again. Look at this. We refilled the ducket. The docket. What have you... I don't...
Fill the docket with ducats.
That's our listener question segment, everyone. We're going to take a quick intermission break, and then we'll come back to talk a little what we got this week here on this very professional episode of WTF at TFW.
But I assure you, you are not dead. Take it from me.
I shall rattle my bones at night and knock on tables and drip ectoplasm on anyone I don't like.
It won't work. Living people are not allowed to be ghosts.
I'm going to float through walls.
Ow. I give up.
Well, then, if I'm not a ghost, why are you here?
Waiting.
Wait forever, bone face. I shall hover in the twilight world. I shall find some chains to shake. I shall... Whoop.
We're back from the intermission, and my audio channel's a swap, because that seems to be a thing I have to do with my soundboard now. It's actually real fascinating, because I didn't think it was capable of doing this anymore, but I have brought it back to life by inverting its innards when a certain amount of electricity is passed through it such that that actually works. So, I'm kicking some ass over here. Aaron, I want to
talk... You actually reversed the polarity.
I did. I switch left to right and right to left. And I've noticed that the glitching I'm getting seems to sometimes be fixed if I just scream into my microphone and cause a high enough frequency noise to go through my soundboard. It's like it jump starts it. It's pretty cool. But Aaron, I wanted to talk to you about kicking the asses of buying toys.
All right.
Did you get any Transformers this week?
Yes, I did.
I'm so excited. Tell me about
Motor Master.
Them.
Yeah, that's pretty much that same Optimus Prime that I had fiddled with of Gerardimus's. Mm-hmm. I think as Motormaster, it doesn't feel as bad.
He has like 80-some percent new parts from what I've seen.
Yeah, a lot of the like exterior, the skin of it's different, and I think it's also just in the fact that it's not... You kind of expect something out of an Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have that level of expectation there of like an Optimus Prime should be X. If you don't have that, it's some of the oddball things of the toy aren't as bad.
Motor Master also has those little flaps too. I think those actually help the truck mode a lot. And from what I've heard, they help a little bit in torso mode or something like that.
They can. They can kind of fill up the area of it. The biggest issue that I've had so far with him is the fact that he has the clicky points on his hips, and the official and many of the other ways to transform him as a torso end up with legs that are at different angles.
I heard about that being a thing with him, and that you've got to like put washers in and or stretch springs, and I don't entirely understand. I guess I got to mess with one.
You really got to tweak it to bring it all in. But otherwise, I mean, it's the same transformation where his hips are at an odd angle, and I've seen a couple of other unofficial transformations, and then the kit that we talked about before that may change how it all works together. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hope there for it, so things coming down the line might change it for the better, which is kind of an odd way to put it. I really do need to say less. Just realize I was doing that.
I'm writing a ticket, actually, for you. It's coming out of your podcast pay.
Oh, no. I do like the big horned head. I think that's something that takes a character trait from before and exaggerates it some.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say for the better, whereas that third party head had horns, but they definitely weren't the talking point of it.
No, it's like they had horns, but they were shorter than even the G1 face mask thing had. Right. And to me, like, Menasor is the guy with horns. That's kind of how I think of him, to a certain degree.
Yeah. Again, some of the things that I'd like would be an additional bit of hinge on the regular size robot's hands so that he just doesn't have these, like, bottom of the fist sitting above where the shoulders click in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could help with some aesthetics.
On Optimus, the nice thing about those is you could just put Optimus's guns into those to turn them into, like, shoulder cannons. Yeah. Fortunately, there's nothing really with him you could stick in there. But
he mounts a sword up there.
Yeah, give him a shoulder sword.
And then, so for his kind of companion piece, unless either of you have anything else that you want to say about Motor Master?
I probably should have bought one when I saw one on sale the other day. I was thinking about it on the way home, that sale actually was a bit under retail. And I was like, aw, crap. That's about it for me.
A bit under retail would have been nicer than retail?
Yeah. I mean, I own the Optimus mold, so that's why I didn't get one from Big Bad, because they wanted $30 for him. And I was like, I don't... If I'm going to pay $30 for him, I may as well just find him in a store. But, yeah, I don't have a Motor Master, so I got nothing else to add about him.
So then I'll go with his companion piece, Blackjack.
I don't have mine yet. It's in a pile.
Sure looks like he goes in the chest, but as soon as you get much past 10 degrees of lean forward, he pops right out.
So, some people, I think, I can't remember precisely who it all was. I think Fake Eyes 22 and John Dr. Kent and someone else were talking about that. I think Fake Eyes was the one. He tried doing the thing where, you know, with ball joints, one way to tighten them without using liquids is to put tissue paper into them. So he tried wrapping a bit of tissue paper around the chest pegs. And I mean, apparently there's nothing really to be done for the peg hole that's made out of splittable legs.
Right.
But the other one that is an actual peg hole did have a meaningful and, like, really tighter grip, and a more meaningful change, I was going to say, when he just put, like, a bit of tissue paper in there. So I think that's the one peg hole that is paramount. Although I think that the fan transformations I've seen where they just turn Blackjack into something that doesn't just look like a car, that I think sticks on there with his fist holes, those look way cooler.
Yeah, I saw one earlier, and then I saw one that came along later that didn't stress plastic nearly as much. Because the first one had it, like, bending against, so his shoulders are on a piece.
Was that Blackjack outside my window just now, going like,
maybe
I'm bending? All right.
See, I did it again. I could see how that works. The one that I had seen best was take a piece of clear tape and wrap it around the triangle peg, and that in putting it on top of that then would give it enough traction. I had it like that. See, I keep doing it. Now that I've thought about me uhing, it's all I hear myself do.
You're going to say it way more if you're conscious of it. You've got to flow, man.
Yeah, I'll flow now, man. See, that hopefully broke it for me.
I'll throw in some myself. Just keep going.
That'll make me feel better. Thanks. But beyond that, there's not a good way to deal with it, and it's kind of frustrating that it has this big chamber and buy this other dude, and then... No, but really, if you want to play with him, you just...
Yeah, I think that, like, when I saw the first review come in the feedback thread and the guy was saying that, I was like, oh, well, that's going to be a brainstorm thing. It'll be fixed. And it seems like sometimes it kind of works, but it's always just the one peg hole. Making a peg hole that also splits apart for the legs just seems like a real bad idea.
Right. I've tried them left and right. It's not as if one side pegs better than the other.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of drastic things of, well, actually the pegs are a little bit long and it all doesn't fit down. If you cut the peg down further, than what it is stock on Motormaster, the pegs thicken out as you get further down.
I could maybe see that, but I'd much rather add material to the pegs than shorten them.
Right. It's always harder to stretch a board rather than to just cut it shorter.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it sucks though, man. Like that seems like it seems like it should be such a friggin' cut and dry thing. The car pegs in here, and take it one step further, the thing that looks like the hilt of a sword you plug the sword blade into.
Right.
And the fact that neither of those things work is ridiculous.
Right. And the thing that I actually had to correct on my I've pulled a blank down the black car on my blackjack.
Yeah.
Was his weapon thing didn't plug well into the roof of the car.
Oh, right. For the
it had some extra flash in the cut square hole on the top part of the car that I had to get in there with a small file and file it out some so that it would actually peg into that. So I don't know if there's just some tolerance wonkiness on blackjack or if this is a case of maybe they looked at things on both sides of the engineering and said that should work and never reliably put together production ones.
Like there's no ligament between the two ideas.
Right. It would have been nice if this was a square peg or something that had a positive connection rather than this kind of more, this is still kind of a pretty passive connection, you know, especially when you have such the strong capture of the limb robots connecting to the torso robot with a piece that clicks together and holds together no matter how hard you try and shake it apart. It requires physical movement to remove it. I know that you couldn't have the same type of positive hard capture on the legend dude clicking in, but to have at least something that, you know, he's got the weird chest thing that opens up. What if that had some additional panel that curled on the side to grab it too, or more step that gives it a stronger connection.
Made it a bit more tight aesthetically too. To me, the bummer is because I was never going to just have him as a car sitting in the chest cavity. As soon as I saw like, oh, there's these really cool, you know, chest plate transformations, I was like, yeah, I want to do one of those because that looks way cooler. But it kind of sucks. Like that's also the way to get him to stick on in the first place.
Right, that didn't come about because somebody was looking for something cooler. It came about because somebody was looking for a way to keep it stuck onto the toy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, from what I've seen, Blackjack's actually really cool just as a standalone toy. I don't know if you've messed with them.
Yeah, he's fun and poseable as a dude by himself, too, with a giant weird sideways axe thing.
Yeah.
As a weapon.
Well, you just attach that to his car mode, and that turns him into a weapon for Menasor. Car on a stick.
Oh, as a like a beaten stick?
Yeah, yeah, cudgel.
I hadn't done that. As an actual blackjack?
Right?
Or a kosh? Was that?
I have no idea. Kosh is a Vorlon, who was the ambassador to Babylon 5.
That's with a K. I think as the weapon it's a C.
Alright, well, I'm not gonna get all European on you here, I'm just saying. I know what I hear.
A type of blunt weapon. Club.
Do not go to Zahadum.
That's like a baton. That's...
If you go to Zahadum, you will die.
Yes.
Well, at least you've got those guys, you know, down. Like, you'll be able to make a Menasor.
Yeah.
And it seems like, hey, guess what? At least there will be, like, there are already two completely separate solutions for Menasor if Menasor is a problem for you. Got perfect effects, and then there's also Lone Wolf with their just straight up new Motormaster that has like additional parts to be Combiner Wars compatible. And this, it's only March, so we've got a whole year ahead of us.
Yeah, there's still a ton of time, and things are still, it seems like we're not back up to full speed post shipping issues and also post Christmas and post everything else.
Chinese New Year. According to Planet X, only about half the workers have come back to work at the factory that they use.
Still sleeping it off.
So, hey man, it's Year of the Goat. You got to party like a goat.
But also picked up Huffer.
Huffa!
Who I think does that mold better than Optimus Prime.
I was going to skip that Huffer, but then I was like, you know what? I got friggin' Windcharger, I got friggin' Thundercracker, and I'll just get Blackjack and Huffer off Big Bad because I'm lazy. So it's good to hear that it sounds like he works.
It does. Again, I think it's another case of, yeah, it's a semi-truck thing, so it's got to be Optimus Prime. But as Huffer, it's very passable, acceptable.
How's the head sculpt on that one?
The head sculpt is good. It's little round head the way that it should be.
And I've seen there's a decent fan transformation to get a thing over his head, or at least up behind it.
Yeah, you can take the grill, you can kind of push up a bit. It has a couple different ways to set. You can kind of get it up behind his head some.
Mm-hmm.
And play with the various flaps to change his profile from a primey profile to something that's a little bit different.
And you can also open his chest to reveal the Matrix.
Well, no, there's no Matrix. It's just the Autobot logo.
I know, but it's like his Matrix chamber. It's like the thing he's never going to use in his entire life because he's Huffer.
Yeah.
But if he ever wants to think about what could have been, he can open up his chest and just stare in the mirror.
Drink, this empty hole.
Drink a full liter of bourbon and go to sleep.
But, I don't know. Huffer, Drodimus picked up for me because he knew that I was looking for that wave and that I had Blackjack. And I'm glad for it. I think had I been making more of this decision in my I really need to be focusing on things psychology, I might have skipped on him because, again, it is a mold I already had. It's been a while, but it's no excuse. I need to pay better attention to these things.
Slap on the wrist!
Yeah. Which, when we talk about off-topic, it'll be a punch in the face.
All right, I'm all set for that.
But that is my on-topic gets.
All right. Well, TJ Omega, did you get any Transformers this week?
I did.
All right.
Drought ends.
Boom.
I did get a few things that Aaron also got.
Mm-hmm.
So, different opinion. I got Motor Master.
And I hate him.
No, I like seriously dig the toy.
But you you were okay with the Optimus version too, right? Like
I was okay with the Optimus version, but my argument ever since the photos came out of on Motor Master was that the mold was originally Motor Master and then Prime was the second thought to it.
Mm-hmm.
And and there was always something about the Prime that bugged me, and having the two side by side, I kind of figure what it is. Like, it kind of makes a little bit more sense to me. I look at Motor Master and the molding and the detailing, everything fits that frame. Because, like, Motor Master always had this, like, big, blocky, chunky aesthetic, like, especially in the G1 toy. So, all of that works for him, like, in that structure.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Optimus feels like, it feels like every element of Optimus Prime is there, but it's stretched out to fit within that frame. Like you're taking a low-quality image and then blowing it up to high quality.
Or like a Motor Master sized robots dressing up like Optimus.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hold to my argument that Motor Master came first because he wears it so much better.
Well, he even has the wind vane flaps that I thought Optimus was supposed to have in IDW, which is when I saw that, I was like, hey, wait a second. Why doesn't Optimus have these too?
I noticed reading one of the new issues today, they subtly added some more Combiner Wars-esque details to Optimus in his design.
Yeah, I'm gonna touch on that briefly in my own what I got, because I want to throw a couple quick thoughts about that issue, but I want to go through our toys first.
No, but I really love the Motor Master. I dig the weapon gimmick, the sword works for me. Gun, not so much, but hey, it's a neat thought. The combined mode. I've only got one Stunticon so far, so he's stolen a lot of aerial bots to actually make the torso. The torso is still problematic.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way they try to do a lot of the torsos in Power Core combiners, and it doesn't quite work. But it works a little bit better as Menasor, because I do think more big, hulking, menacing, and there's a little bit more room in there for me to believe that this is correct.
Really, with him, it's, I think we've having looked at him so much, we'd probably mentioned it elsewhere, but he's just missing a midriff. That's the biggest problem with that mold's torso mode.
Yeah.
Like, the shoulders work, the groin works, he just doesn't have a stomach, and that's what's making him look so weird. That's what the Perfect Effect body cast is adding. It's filling in that gap and implying a more regular-looking abdomen.
Right. I don't know, but overall, I think he's... I call him, like, categorically better than Prime was.
Oh, I mean, everything I've read from people who got him, and even people who actively think that Prime mold is garbage, said that they think that the Prime version is garbage, but somehow something is working with Motormaster. So I'm really wanting to get my hands on him. I saw him at a comic shop, and they wanted 40 Canadian plus tax for him, because it's a comic shop getting him from Diamond.
Ugh.
And so I was like, whatever, and I'll tell a story. But then I was like an hour away from the comic shop, and I was like, wait, he was 40% off. 40% off 40 brings him below 30, which is retail. Aw, nuts. I mean, when I tell this story, you'll understand how I was distracted enough to not think that through entirely, but that's okay. For off topic.
Okay.
But yeah, yep. that was a moment.
You have to live up to that now.
That was a moment when I was just walking home, and I was just like, wait a second. I was doing the math in my head, and I was like, aw, man.
So along with him, I did get Blackjack. Mm-hmm. So the pair combined, and yeah, mine has the exact same problem. It has both of the problems. It will not stay in his chest, and his own little upside down pickaxe thing will not stay in without filing down one of the holes.
Nah, that's a bummer.
Yeah. So, it's unfortunate, but the toy itself is really nice. Like, the transformation is really neat for such a little guy. It's more involved than I thought it was, and does a few things I don't remember a larger figure doing.
Hmm.
It's actually quite a neat little trick. It does kind of flipping through its torso and the arms, which the arms are just like the sides folded like 90 degrees. And I think it's so simple, but you know, I don't remember it happening anywhere else.
I've been real excited to mess with that toy. It's just like, I'd always see him, like, single auctions for him were ridiculous prices. Getting him alone on Big Bad even was kind of a ridiculous price. Even yeah. the set of two, I was like, I gotta try to just come to terms with this, how much Legends toys cost now. But once everything else was coming out, I was like, I just, screw it. I'm gonna get this off Big Bad. I already have stuff sitting there.
Yeah.
He is a really neat figure, I think.
Hmm.
He'll make a terrible Rodimus, but he's neat as a new character.
Yeah, I want to see the Rodimus deco on that with the new head. see how that goes.
No. I was telling someone today, I thought it was hilarious that we are now, that we have got G1 characters who still have no new modern toys, but we've made a completely new character out of someone's part.
Yeah.
Because that was just the torso piece for Motormaster.
Yeah, and they bound him to a really suitable Micromaster. Because I kept forgetting, Blackjack is a Micromaster who looks a lot like Motormaster's chest car thing.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah, Blackjack gets his day, man. He gets a new toy in 2015.
As long as I was grabbing Legends, I also finally picked up Bombshell and Power Glide.
Man, I've hunted everywhere. I couldn't find a single Bombshell. I still need to get a replacement Bombshell, because mine, and I don't think it's going to be a problem for everyone, mine took a table dive, and one of his little insect legs just snapped clean off his forearm, or his bicep.
Ew.
And I could not get it to glue on, because those insect legs are made from a very glue-resistant plastic. So I just need to get a new one, and he's the one I can't find anywhere. I'll find one. It's not a big problem. Yeah. I don't want to pay shipping on one or anything.
But yeah, this was all Hasbro Toy Shop purchase because I have not found anything around here.
Yeah, he's wave one, so I feel like he's, if I'm gonna find anything, wave one will be the highest chance. But
yeah, around here, it was everyone wanted those two new figures, and then Thundercracker and Windcharger just warmed the peg.
Yeah, I found a lot of Windchargers. So corroborates.
They are nice figures. Power Glide is what I was really hoping for him to be. He very much suits the G1 mold.
Mm-hmm.
I really dug the transformation on him. Again, more involved than I thought it would be. I actually haven't tried the gun mode yet.
On Power Glide?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing to write home about. I think it's kind of clever, some of the stuff it does.
Yeah. I like that it's actually got a little scope of its own. That's kind of a neat little touch.
Yeah.
And for his entire forearm is a missile battery.
Yep. Just lift his elbow up and just like bring the pain.
Very neat toy though.
Mm-hmm.
Happier with him than I was the Ultra Power Glide, actually.
Poor Ultra Power Glide is like this really neat toy that like it's like everything happening in Transformers and unofficial Transformers is just actively working against that toy ever since everything like kind of picked up.
It was a confusing toy in the first place because they just released one red and off-white Autobot Jet at the Ultra size, and now we're going to do another one who has no business being that size.
And then there's a red version as well.
There is the gray version. There is a red version with red arms, and then there is a red version with gray arms.
Yeah. And then at the very end of all of that, there's a couple unofficial ones, and then, hey, guess what? There's a new official one who's small. After a different official one that's small, that looked a little bit movie-ish, except it's Power Glide, so you can't really movie-ize them that much.
Yeah.
Oh, right, I forgot about that one. Yeah, this one's way better than that one.
Yeah.
More to the Minibot collection. I'm glad to see those are continuing. Mm-hmm. Bombshell's neat. He's much more simple.
Mm-hmm.
Proportionally a little odd. I feel like his shoulders are a little low.
Yeah, I can see that. And I mean, I'm a little biased because one of them broke off, but I wish that there was something more defined to do with his insect legs.
Yeah.
Like they kind of never look right, no matter where I put them.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, the ones on his arms I'm fine leaving out because I kind of like details going outward like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the ones on his legs where they clutter him if he's out too far, but they obstruct the knee if they're in too far.
And then if you try just like going to, like if you fold them in all the way, they cross over into the other leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something weird in there with this.
Yeah, I like that all six are hinged.
Yeah.
So it's like, you might do something with it. Maybe.
Yeah, like there's something to the toy, and I like that he has like basically a hidden gun mode, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that was neat. Though with Combiner Wars, I really thought they would have mentioned that.
I know, but that's why at first I was like, maybe I'm just seeing things, but it's like, no, you look at his hand sculpts, and I mean, those things sticking off his legs are 5mm pegs, so he can fold up into a little gun.
Yeah. I would have thought they would have brought up.
Yeah.
Now I feel bad for Kickback, because now we got to figure out how to get him released.
They at BotCon, they said that they really want to, especially with stuff like this, they want to not leave teams unfinished.
Yeah.
So there were heavy implications that they're going to do a Kickback.
Yeah, I want them to. It does feel weird only having two.
Yeah.
I almost wish the old Legends would continue, like when they still had like mini partners. So like when all three Insecticons come out, all three of them could have had a Reflector.
Yeah, that would have been neat. Mm. It also would have helped with the price tag of current Legends.
Yeah,
because especially with stuff like Huffer and Windcharger, it's like, oh man, this really sucks. Like I'm not mad or anything, but man, this sucks.
Oh well. It is what it is.
I'll survive.
They're neat though. I'm happy enough with them.
Nice.
Let's see, who else did I get?
So in my usual way, I put together this order, and as soon as I hit the order, I go back and check, and then notice, oh wait, that one was in stock, and in case it was Blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
They said, I got free shipping on the last one. They've got like coupons now for 15% off or whatever. Okay, I'll make another order. Screw it, whatever. I'm still only paying shipping once. So ended up getting the Generations Dreadwing, which is one of those toys that I've been putting off forever. It's like one of the rainy day purchases.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
My Megatron suffered the loose joints that was kind of common on that one.
Yep.
So, and I really liked the mold. I really liked the look of it. The joints just killed it for me. So I was hoping to get a little bit better, and that's exactly what I got, a little bit better. Because the ball joint on his right shoulder holds in most positions, and then some others, not so much. And then on the left, the hinge is, it holds if he's not holding his weapon on that arm.
Man, that's weird.
Yeah.
I actually never ended up getting that figure. He's still on my to-do list. But, I'd heard from people that he was better than Megatron, but I think I might be spoiled by my Japanese Megatron, who was, like, wonderful.
Yeah, you might be. Because yeah. DOS Megatron was not all that great.
No, not at all. Right. And Japanese Megatron was, like, night and day. It's really crazy, like, how night and day it was.
No, but Dreadwing is really cool. I forgot that he was... like something in my head forgot that he was completely, like, G2.
Yeah.
Like, right down to the Decepticon logos on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, that immediately raised him for me as soon as I noticed. I do like the colors. He brings out a lot more to the mold than Megatron's Dark Shades did.
Yeah. Like, the Japanese Megatron's whole thing, aside from feeling better, is they actually did panel line him. Which was huge. Like, does a whole lot.
Mm. More to the point, I never quite felt like that mold suited Megatron.
Yeah, I mean, it's a comic design. And that's kind of the fallback.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a comic. I know it's a design that did for the comics, and it's so... It looks okay, it just doesn't look Megatron. You know, maybe it's just the darker color scheme they went for, but I don't... You turn him into a stealth jet. Like, Megatron is the last person who seems stealth to me.
It's all that star drive technology.
Oh, yeah. The arm that's linked to a black hole or something like that.
Yeah. He's got a personalized space bridge thing in him.
Or he did one time.
Yep.
when it was relevant to the plot. So Dreadwing is nice. Much bigger fan of him than the Megatron.
Mm-hmm.
Rounding out that order and thus what I got on topic, since it was in stock and I've been like really eager to get the figure. The deluxe warrior class Optimus from RID2.
Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for the adventure version with all the crazy Nemesis colors.
That thing looks good.
Yeah, but the toy looks cool. You were here when Aaron got it, and we were talking about that mod to it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I had to look into, though. I'm usually not one to mod my figures.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was anymore, but it's in Pia's YouTube channel somewhere. Apparently, the only part I remember is that it was so easy to do, and there was even a friction click that was happening after it was done, that it felt like it was designed on the base level somewhere in that toy.
Hmm.
Right.
Kind of as opposed to Aaron, if I remember, he serves me right, I actually really, really like the figure.
I don't remember how Aaron felt about the figure.
I don't dislike the figure. I think the other figures in the wave are better.
Well, I don't have Drift, so I can't really judge that one yet.
Drift isn't in that wave, but sure.
Is he?
No, Drift's in that wave.
Drift's wave 2.
Yeah, so is Prime.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he did come around.
He was Wave 1 Cyberverse, but Wave 2 Warrior.
Oh, yeah, he was. Sorry.
I don't know. It's
trying to confuse me, Aaron Smith.
Why do I remember these things even? Sometimes it freaks me out a bit that I can just snap off the top of my head. Oh, Wave 1 of Cyberverse for Transformers RID 2015. Yeah, I could tell you what that was easily.
Yeah, that's called a sickness, sir.
Yep.
No, but I actually really dig the figure. Like,
cool.
Okay, proportionally, he makes no sense because of, you know, he's the semi-truck and the trailer together. That said, I really like figures when they actually get to do that.
Yeah, it comes up with, like, a nicer-looking alt mode shape.
Yeah. He's got a better size to him than I expected in that vehicle mode. He does come up a little gappy in, if you look at the wrong parts. Like, especially from the top down, where the gap between the legs is still there in vehicle mode. Of course, that's actually a weapon storage, too, so... You know, it's a gap that gets used, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Transformation's nice and simple. There's still a few tricks to it that I actually like. Like, actually using the peg holes in his hands for the transformation I thought was neat.
Mm-hmm.
Really like the robot mode. Like, it's got kind of a... Almost a Cybertron Optimus silhouette to it.
That robot mode design is really well done.
Yeah. Like, and he's got just enough posability to him to, like, get some really cool dynamic poses going. Like, the shoulders are a little weird, because they should be universal, but the two points of articulation for it are not in the same spot, so it doesn't quite work.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a little bit of limited posability in the arms going outward, but beyond that, it does everything nice enough. The paint's a little sparse, but he's got the designs to the show, right? And
that's how it's going. That's how it's going with the Warrior toys in general so far. Is like that's part of just how they're working in the States, is sparser paint.
Yeah,
and there is better paint on them in Japan if you want to go there. Like it's currently, it looks like RID is a situation of, if you want them to look better, you can spend $25 from Japan and they will look better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're back to the mid 2000s that way.
Yeah.
But no, I seriously dig the toy. I honestly like him better than anyone in Wave 1.
And from what I've heard, Drift is like one of the top figures of that line as well. Everyone who's got both keeps saying that they like him better than Optimus, so I'm like, alright. Like, I only just got Grimlock, and I'm seeing how much of a smoother toy he is in Wave 1, and everyone's like, oh, but the Optimus and Drift are a whole new level. It's like, alright, let's do this!
It does give me faith that the toys are getting better.
Yeah, like, I think it'll still end up being a bit of a short line as far as the complicated, you know, for that line, Warrior toys go.
Yeah.
I'm expecting, you know, 13 or 15 figures total, and then we'll see what happens afterwards. But they all have a thing going on. Like, none of them feel, like, of the three I've messed with, none of them feel, like, phoned in. They're all trying.
They're trying.
Very, very trying. Oh, what?
Of my patience, said Aaron. Here comes the police. Here come the RID police for Aaron. The grumpy police are coming for the grumpy Transformers fan. Hope you're just... Aaron, hands over your head and just step out of the front door. It'll be fine.
Oh, that's a really close one.
They heard you. That's why. Well, any other Transformers stuff while Aaron's busy getting... What is going on?
Wow.
Oh, those are all
what
ambulances.
What ghetto do you live in?
I live in a city where people call ambulances. And I'm
do you have windows yet?
I do, but it's open because it's way too hot in here if it's not open. So I take the small price that we get some local color. Any other Transformers on your end, TJ?
No, that covers it for On Topic.
Well, the only on-topic thing I got this week was the that new issue of Transformers RID ? Which opens up the Combiner Wars story arc, and I don't want to talk too much about it because we'll figure out something for comics. But I figure so much Combiner Wars was talked, and it's start of the next event thing they're going to do with Transformers in IDW. I thought it was cool. Like, it wasn't, you know, mind-blowing, but it was, for all the snark one could have going in on the issue, I thought it turned out pretty well. I think it's some of the best panel work Livio has done. I admit, I'm also not someone who is completely against Livio doing comic art, unlike a whole lot of very loud people. But I think I'm trying to set myself outside of that. I think it is also some of the strongest comic panel work he's done. I didn't have much trouble telling who was who. Actions were more clear than I remember them being in some earlier issues. And I like how much the story is referencing the Menasor story arc from many, many years ago in the original ongoing, which some people just straight up forgot about, me included. But I think it's a great thing to touch on when you're starting off Combiner Wars, because if you didn't, it would be such a frigging plot hole. It'd be like, hey guys, do you remember that this happened? So they do. It's touched on. The only real problem I had with the issue on the whole is that I think there were just too many. There were too many characters whose voices involved them shortening "and" to "an" with an apostrophe afterwards. Because there were so many apostrophes in the word bubbles, I found it distracting. I understand where it's coming from, but at some point it's kind of like, I can hear the character's voice enough, you don't need to make it that clear for me. Like, I get what's going on. I don't know why it stuck out to me. There was so much N in that book that I was like, oh man. But I'm really excited to see what they do with that storyline. It looks like it's going to be a fun time. And it feels less chaos-y abstract than Dark Cybertron was going in. So I'm looking forward to it. TJ, you said you checked it out as well.
Yeah, I did.
You feeling okay about it, or you got any qualms, or are you just like gung ho? Yes, let's do this.
I wouldn't say any qualms. I'm enjoying what's going on.
Hmm.
I do like the two we're getting a little bit of interplay between Earth and Cybertron in the stories.
Hmm.
That gets rarer and rarer sometimes. Sometimes I feel like it's three books going on, which, well, during Windblade it really was, but...
Yeah.
It's got... Like, that universe has so much to juggle. It just amazes me that it keeps it all straight in the first place.
Yeah, the amount of back referencing they do, like, it borders on a bit much, but I really appreciate how much they try to not throw out old storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to a detriment at times, but something about it I find very respectable.
There's a lot of weird play in that book, because it's not really like your typical, well, it's Autobots over here, Decepticons over here, but like you've got, you know, RC allying with Galvatron as a means to an end. You have Prowl at the head of the literally the head of the Constructicons. You have Rat Trap and Scoop following Starscream.
Yeah, there's they've created a really nice, like, the one worry I've had about Combiner Wars from some of the solicits is it going to just turn into two sides of a war again? And now, having seen solicits from post Combiner Wars, it seems like maybe that is not the case, without saying too much. But from the, I mean, it's just preview solicits I'd looked at. My main worry was that they were going to undo the wonderful Shades of Grey we have right now, and it feels like they might not. Aaron, did you check out the new issue at all yet?
No, I haven't been in the comic shop in a few days.
All right, yeah, I didn't want to say too much else plot wise about it, but it seems like it's doing some neat stuff. And I think we're going to be away from Earth for a little while again. But I actually kind of, like, it was a bit hackneyed at times, but I kind of enjoyed revisiting IDW Earth. I know that turned a lot of people off RID post Dark Cybertron, but IDW Earth is a place I don't mind going back to, because no one on IDW Earth likes the Transformers anymore, and it makes it way more interesting that it's just this hostile place now. And when you show up, Earth just starts shooting at you. They're like, no, go away. We don't want any. Not anymore. Get out.
We got one human that still likes Transformers, and she ain't on Earth.
Yeah, she's off in space somewhere.
Yeah.
Leave us alone. That's all I want out of Earth now from IDW, because the best part of Earth that could have still been around got killed off. In the one major grievance I still have with IDW on the whole is that. And I can't do anything about it. they pulled the plug on him.
I'm staring at Bombshell right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a cheap toy. You can just crush it. You know, get all your feelings out. Just crush that toy in your hand right now.
Know how long it took to find it? No.
Get a second one. Just. But yeah, I'm not feeling too down on the Combiner Wars stuff. And I mean, they know what their audience wants. More Than Meets the Eye is getting more or less left out of it. So, and I don't want to say too much else because people should be friggin' reading it. But that More Than Meets the Eye story arc finale was friggin' right up my alley. I liked it a lot. Anyway, that's our Transformers on topic. Let's talk a little off topic. I'm going to tell my story now. So, I was out having to kill like 4 or 5 hours of time in the morning while my apartment was getting demolished through. And I was not in the best of spirits. So I was just walking around and I was like, I haven't been to Silver Snail in weeks. I'm going to walk into Silver Snail. And I walk in and I look around. I see Combiner Wars Menasor for $40. And I'm like, yep, Diamond Distributing. Ha ha ha. Just keep walking along, look around. Even more reaction toy lines are out that I didn't even know were happening.
Oh, they're getting.
So that was kind of funny. I was like, oh, they got those licenses as well and already produced the toys.
They're getting gross.
Great. And I'm walking through the high end spot, and then I see the 3A Portal bots. You know, Atlas and Peabody from Portal 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the 3A did 1/6 scale versions of them. And Silver Snail's had them for a while. Silver Snail's price on them is $300 each because they imported them, so you don't get the Japanese price of like $200-something each. And they've been there for a while, and I was like, haha. And I see the price tag, and it has a new hour price markdown. They were marked down to $100 each. And I was like, hey, that's not a bad deal. Maybe someday if they're still here, I'll pick them up. So I'm just like, all right, taking off. I'm literally about to leave the store and I see a sign that I didn't see when I came in that says March Madness Sale. All toys 40% off today only. Because they're doing this thing where they have a week of sales and they change the sales every day. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know what? What have I got to lose by asking this? So I walk up to the cash and I'm like, hey, those Portal Bots, it says that they're marked down to 100 on the tag. Is today's sale like another 40% off of that? And the cashier's like, I don't know. And talking to someone else working there. And then she says, if they are, would you buy the two of them? And I said, oh yeah, if they're 40 off, I'll buy both of them. And she says, okay, I'll send my friend down to talk to the owner. And she tells her friend, like, tell him he's going to buy both if they're on sale. So after like 10 minutes, I'm just sort of ambling around going like, this probably won't work, but at least I'll know. They come up and they're like, yeah, if you want both of them, it's 40% off total. So I was like, okay, let's do this. Well, they said they're under the sale. So I was like, yeah, let's do this. So they ring them up. And then I had the brief little moment of heart stop where she's like, all right, so are these 20% off or 40% off? And I look at the thing and I didn't see that there was a separate 20% off on Hot Toys, Real Action Hero, Sideshow, and like basically high-end collectibles. And I was like, oh, these are probably only 20%. Oh no, I don't know what because I don't know what 3A counts as in Silver Snail. But then she's like, no, these don't look like statues, these look like action figures. I mean, they pose, so we'll do the 40% off. So I was like, all right, cool, thank you. And I got them for after taxes $135 total for the two of them. So that felt pretty good because even on sale, they're usually about $150 each. So I paid less than what most people pay for one of them to get both of them. And that felt pretty badass.
It's not a bad deal.
Yeah.
So that was neat.
I'm as a Portal guy, I'm actually kind of legit jealous of that.
Wait a second. I can really lightly hear you guys in the background. Are you talking?
Yeah.
I cannot hear you at all. I can. You sound like a tiny, tiny echo.
Oh,
in
my
the distance.
God.
Hang on.
Why does everything break today?
Okay, I got you back somewhat. Sorry.
Maybe it's time to replace that soundboard.
I could not hear you at all if you were saying anything.
I totally didn't say that I was jealous of your purchase.
Man. Okay, well, I got this fixed up now, I think. Let me just try something quick. I took a couple pictures of them to put on Instagram, in case you guys haven't seen what they are like. There's a picture of Atlas, and then I took this picture of the two of their cores in bed, which I thought was fun. I had to get a $20 battery for each of them for that eyeball, because it takes like a CR2 battery, which is like a super expensive digital camera battery, but their optic is an actual LED screen with an animation running on it.
Okay.
Wow.
which is super cool. And then, like, there's a button you can push. There's a boot-up sequence, and there's a button you can push to widen or close the iris of the eye, like the optic, so you can make it, like, smaller or wider.
Okay, cool.
They've got some problems. Like, they aren't... The design of the portal bots, by the very nature of how they're designed, it's very hard to make them poseable. The most pleasant surprise I had with these toys is they actually have a whole bunch of ratcheting joints kind of hidden within their armatures. But they are lacking a few points of articulation that simply are not possible, or those points are accomplished via, like, five linked hydraulic double ball jointed sticks. It's really hard to describe, but listen, they aren't super poseable, but for the portal bots, they're pretty decent, and they feel way more durable than I thought. Like, it doesn't feel like any of the ball joints are going to break. I've had, like, the ball joints pop out a lot because there's nothing really stopping you from moving outside of their range, but the only things on them that feel like they could break are things like the small sculpted wires, and you just got to be a bit careful around that stuff. But they stand really well compared to what I was assuming. Their joints feel more robust than they look, and I was really pleasantly surprised.
Cool.
So that's my that's my one major victory, and I'm really just gonna let you guys talk, I think, for a bit while I figure this nonsense out. But Aaron, you told me I get to punch you in the face, so please elaborate.
Yeah, so I'm trying to save money, right? Sure, let's go to the Lego store and buy myself a detective's office.
Aaron, that's
that's not conserving money. I know.
No, that's not even just not conserving money. That's like the complete opposite. Buying a modular.
That's in the reckless abandons area.
Yeah. I had it, look. It was an excuse.
Okay.
And
look.
Then reasons here. Double points. And I really wanted it a whole lot.
That's great reasoning right there.
Yeah. A drive back retrospect, because I had gone in and I was thinking, like, you know, I wanted to pick up the Hulkbuster set that just came out for Avengers. Because Hulkbuster is pretty cool. You get Iron Man, you put him inside the Hulkbuster armor. It's pretty cool.
I like the Hulkbuster. And they didn't
have it. And so I got to looking at other stuff, kind of walking around the store thinking, man, I'm here. I want to get something. It's double points. And, oh, yeah, I really want the detective's office. Because the Parisian restaurant's pretty neat, but it seems like it's lacking something. I don't know. I'm going to get it eventually so I'm not missing one in the time frame that I've been getting modulars. But it wasn't really calling to me, and there was, like, one detective's office left on the shelf, and I was looking at it, and I was like, yeah, no, I shouldn't, why am I checking out with this box right now? Oh my god, what just happened? So, I got the detective's office, and I've built it, and it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
The story in this one, if you don't know, is so it's a rough time. There's a prohibition in Legoland, in Lego City. Cookies have been outlawed. Yes, gasp and horror. So there is, from the back of the building, there is a grate that you open up, and then half of it, of the ground floor, is barbershop, and half of it is pool hall. So in the barbershop, you build a... it looks kind of like a dresser cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And then that hides a door that opens up from the back so that you're not going through the front door or whatever, but you're going in through this other door. And you can slide the barrel that you fill with cookie pieces into that. And then there's another part that you open up that's next to, like, the hair sink part. And it slides, and it goes underneath a piece to go over into the pool hall that has a sliding hidden door in it in order to get the cookies into the pool hall. And then, what is it? The second story has the detective's office. So the detective's office not only has a safe, but it has a hidden wall compartment underneath a painting. And then the third floor has the kitchen, the illicit kitchen
baking cookies.
Who's the Heisenberg of this operation?
It's a cat is who's in the bakery.
That's amazing. Katzenberg.
But was a really fun build. And then somebody on Twitter saw that I had purchased that and asked if I wanted to buy the flower cart. So the flower cart is a poly bag that I think came out when the detective's office was announced. And if you sold or if you bought more than so much, then you'd end up getting that. And it's, I don't know if he wants his real name said, and Twitter, since I all of a sudden got up a billion messages, isn't telling me.
That's not Mato, my fault.
Mato Wakua on Twitter. I think he's a TFW mod. I don't know. They're all so young and whatever. Or TFW staff, whatever. So, Jason. I'll go for a first name, Jason. Hooked me up with this, and so what I didn't realize as I was building it is, so it's a flower cart. You know, it's got flowers on it, and he's got a little bucket, and oh, wait a second, there's a hidden little spot where you put a barrel that's filled with cookies. The flower cart dude is in on the smuggling ring.
We want our sweets!
Halfway through, I was like, oh, this is cool. So, I now have that, and I'm going to have this cart displayed innocuously out front because it's just a flower cart. There's nothing illegal in flowers. But if you put flour with eggs and some chocolate, then it's illegal. What? Cookies.
Say my name, Meow.
Yeah. But beyond that, not a whole lot off topic other than that really silly, expensive thing that I probably should have held off on purchasing.
I built a Lego set the other day that was a big one that I've had for a while unbuilt.
Yeah?
Built the Milano set from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ah, I need that one. Should get it.
It's a really, really fun, varied build without much repetition. I was surprised.
Cool. Do you have the Rocket Raccoon poly bag that comes with the stickers for the Milano?
Yeah, and then I looked at the Milano, and I looked at the stickers, and I looked between them, and I was like, I don't feel like it actually needs any of these, so I haven't put
any on. That's what I've heard, that it's just like if you want the rough post-final battle, or just before final battle Milano.
There are four, like, vent stickers that look like extra tech detail that should go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I already don't like putting stickers on Lego, so I'm like, well, if I'm going to put these somewhere, I want to compare it to, like, the CG model and see where these vents are actually supposed to go. And then I was like, I don't know if I care enough to do all that, so I just left the stickers on their own. But I put Rocket and his potted plant inside, and the potted plant actually fits. You can peg it right onto the sill of the rear window of the ship. So the little potted plant is looking out the back of the ship into the cosmos. And it's nice. I liked it. It's also, when I saw it in person at a Lego store, it was bigger than I thought, but then when I built it, it was smaller than I remembered it being, which was a pleasant surprise, because the one fear I had was I don't really want to have another giant Lego spaceship that I have to figure out where to put it right now.
I still haven't figured out where to put spaceship.
I did. It fits inside a Besta unit from IKEA.
Okay.
I made a thin shelf space for it to go in, because it's deep enough, that's the thing, and it fits in there totally fine. So that was one of my happiest things this whole month. So I found a shelf that fits Benny's spaceship without any trouble, and it doesn't look bad in there either. So I actually have a Besta now that is like all my Lego movie stuff, and I'm real happy with it. But TJ, let's go over to you to finish off this off topic. What we got? Did you do anything untransformerly?
Only a little bit, but technically yes.
Hmm.
Since we're sharing Lego, I've gone even smaller than all of you with the microfighters TIE interceptor.
Whoa, big spender!
I know, like, I had to break out, like, a $10 bill for it. I was like, oh, God.
Is that a Benjamin? I can't remember.
Yeah, that's just, like, the microfighters turned into my go-tos. Like, anytime I go to a Walmart and they don't have a new Transformer, it's like, yeah, okay, these are really cute and fun to put together, so we'll just grab one of them. So, my Walmart had all of six Transformers last time I was there, so I came home with an Interceptor. It's like the others. It's a neat little build. It's just big enough to get the shape across and still be fun to construct. I'm getting a little fleet of these, like, little mini vehicles together now, and it's starting to look, like, really neat having them all lined up. Extremely tiny Star Wars universe.
I'm silencing a siren that's in the background. More injured people.
My God. One of these days, I'm going to know what happens in that neighborhood.
People fall down staircases. Old people have heart attacks. I don't know.
Let's not get back into the staircase falling thing.
I'm right by an off ramp, so this is just the way ambulances come through. Out of nowhere. Thanks, jeez, buddy. Yeah, another A truck out there. Anyway.
Jeez, it's really rude to consider people getting injured while we're recording.
I know, right? They should be listening to us. Instead, they go, like, I don't know, sticking scissors up their nose or something.
Beyond that, so I'm a bad Doctor Who fan because I've never owned a sonic screwdriver.
I'm a bad Doctor Who fan because I've only watched two episodes of Doctor Who.
I'm not sure that technically makes you a fan.
No, I've decided I am a big Doctor Who fan. I'm a part of the fandom.
I have opinions.
Yeah, I have opinions.
So you're a Whovian.
That's racist. But I have opinions. I don't care if... Well, that's the same truck actually now just coming back the other way. Clearly they picked up someone from just recently nearby.
Wow. That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Are you sure they didn't get lost?
They also might have gotten lost. That does tend to happen.
That's reassuring.
Yep.
Very calm. Looks like the right one. Not that much of a hurry.
No, we got great emergency personnel that just can't read GPS. You know,
every now and then you just get a guy who shouldn't be driving a truck. He should be in the other part of the truck. Anyway, I am an expert in Doctor Who, so yeah, I belong.
Yeah. Huh. So, ThinkGeek botched an order of mine during Christmas, so it kind of messed up my mother's Christmas present this year, last year technically. Mm. A lot of complaints, sent me a return label that didn't work, no one ever got back to me about it, it took me like 2 months to get a refund, so eventually someone who didn't suck sent me like a $20 off thing.
Every time I start ordering something from ThinkGeek, something in the ordering process eventually turns me off, let alone actually getting something. I don't know. I don't mind ThinkGeek. It's just like, it feels like this, like their front page is like the nicest part of their whole operation.
ThinkGeek's all right. I've never had a problem with them to this point, but apparently they, I like the email that, like, whoever sent this one, who actually finally got back to me and explained what happened in the nicest way I've ever heard, basically said, yeah, we hired a bunch of morons over Christmas.
That's great. Actually, that's wonderful. I like them a lot more now. Throw the interns under the bus. Shoot the temps in the knees and put them in front of the escaped tiger. Well, you got your I was going to say comeuppance. It's not even comeuppance. You got what is owed to you for all the trouble. That's good.
Pretty much. But the sonic screwdriver thing is, like, those usually take, like, that's usually, like, $35 on ThinkGeek for, like, one screwdriver. Mm-hmm. So I found they had one on sale, coupon. I paid, like, $1 for this thing.
$1 too much, huh?
Wait for it.
All right.
Wait for it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay. I will give it this. It is neat. It is very large for its size. The sound effects are accurate. And the little spring, it's like it's the new one with a claw on the end. I say new one. It's one they've had for like 4 years now. But you hit the button and these four claws extend and the light extends off the tip. You know, it's very toy-centric in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really neat design. The first day I had this, I was just like flicking it any chance I got because it's a neat little gimmick. Beyond that, everything about this is made like the worst way I've ever seen.
Who made it?
Is
it that company that just makes all the Doctor Who toys?
Yeah.
Okay, I always forget what they're called, but
it's underground toys.
Yeah.
Okay, so first off, this is actually like the same model they released like 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They literally all they did was change the logo on the packaging to match the new Doctor.
All right.
They did make one change on the original one. There's this closed mode and then there's extended mode. On the old one, the little button that makes the noise doesn't mm-hmm. work when it's extended.
Well, why wouldn't? That's uncanonical.
That's wrong. But
well, in the one episode, you see, it was non-canonical. Was referencing the one episode.
No, you're not working this one.
No, trust me. I'm a doctor about the. I'm a dinosaur doctor. All right, I'm also a doctor.
No. When this thing was extended on the old one, you had to flip a panel on the bottom, and there's like a big red like doomsday button.
Prop replica.
Not something that was in the show. So it's like you flip this open, there's a big red button on the bottom, and you have to hold it overhanded in order to actually make the lights work in that mode. So they
successfully circuited the functions into a button rather than two separate buttons is what they...
Yeah, they basically fix a problem that never should have existed.
Well done. Yeah. All right.
Beyond that, so the thing has four sound effects. It has like alternating like little sonic buzzings. It has a laser sound, and then it has a glitched sound because it's like known for screwing up. Is an expert like you would know.
Absolutely.
Uh huh.
I wrote the Wikipedia page about that.
Sure you did.
I also actually wrote the Doctorpedia page about that.
Doctorpedia?
The Doctorpedia, yes.
Are you sure it's called Doctorpedia?
Mine's called the Doctorpedia.
Anyway, it alternates between... In order to get the other ones, you have to hit the button twice and then hold it down.
But like double click?
Double click and then a third click you hold.
It's a triple click. Man,
triple click, and that's for that sound.
Okay,
to get that malfunction.
I'm triple clicking my thumb against my inside palm to figure out the tempo that you need to. Because I find that I have headphones where I have to do that to track backwards, and I find it really irritating.
Okay, here's the thing. That glitch noise I just played.
Mm-hmm.
That's a four click.
I didn't know you could actually hate your customers. That's real interesting. Okay.
Oh, and here's the fun part. Apparently, because you have to spam this button to get those sound effects, it can burn out the soundboard.
Right, because the problem with my headphones is that the timing between clicks is pretty finicky. So it's real easy for it to just like, oh no, you did a click and then a two click. So we paused the track and then tracked forward. I'm assuming the timing on that thing's real must.
Yeah. Just the fact it's like, hey, I've got a sound effect to play. Click, 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 click. Plays.
I was going to say, at least they succeeded in having a spring-loaded stick with a light on it that you push a button to set off. Like, they did pull off that part.
Yeah, about that.
Oh, yes, about that.
So, if you listen to this...
Mm-hmm.
The spring in this thing is probably about twice as powerful as it needs to be.
Can I guess something?
Sure.
Does it shoot the tip?
Shoot the tip.
Like, does the tip of that thing, instead of sticking out, just fire off like a missile?
No.
Oh, that would be so badass.
All right, so you've got this thing that's like it's like a freaking bed spring in this thing.
Yeah.
Rockets this thing out and it just extends it, so it's just like banging into the plastic and the. So, two things about that. Number one, it is known to wear down the latch on the actual button. Because it is so powerful, it wears the plastic down by activating it.
All right.
Number two, most of this thing is molded in glittery gold plastic.
So it may at one point just explode like glass in your hand.
Yeah, and fire off the claw into somebody's eye.
Wonderful. As I said, it's real interesting and unique to see a toy company that just actively hates the people who are fans of its license.
Keep in mind, $35.
That's wonderful. See, I always assume those things were like $15, because at the end of the day, it is a stick with a spring-loaded extension, a light, and a soundboard.
Yeah.
It seemed like it would be a pretty simple a button you push to set all that off. I'm kind of surprised that so much could go wrong with something that seems so simple.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't make toys, so I'm probably missing something here.
It's really, like, just looking at the engineering, it's really not that complex.
So we should get those guys to try just making a transforming robot.
Oh, yeah, that'll go great.
I'd love to see how that would go. Like, if they could, I don't know, give them, like, what's something that no one cares about or something transforming? Knight Rider 20 whatever, that new Knight Rider, where Carr was voiced by Peter Cullen but was like a transformer. Get them to do that.
So, yeah, that $1... We'll see if it's worth that as this thing ages.
You know how many novelty nerd ice cube trays you could have got for that money instead?
I know. Trust me, I noticed.
You could have had so many frozen R2-D2s chilling your drink.
Yeah.
Now you instead have a stick that may actually kill you one day. Oh, that's why I gave it such a poor review on my Doctor Who toy review website.
You're going to have to back this up one day.
Well, you know, the government doesn't always like me, so sometimes they take my websites down. And you can't find them. But believe me. I'll tell you a thing or two. I know about the doctor named Who.
I'm done now.
All right.
You wrap this up.
Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. That's been WTF and TFW for this time period. We'll be back again with more Transformers talk and an update on whether or not TJ's sonic screwdriver has somehow ended up embedded in his eye or into his wall, depending which way it was facing at the time. And our listener question queue is all filled up. I'm just glancing at it again.
Yeah, I had to turn off notifications on my phone for a bit.
So send us a few more, you know, if you want to help us just build up the legend once again. But let's all celebrate, too, that today was the day that, at least briefly, we actually had emptied the queue without it being a convention where I was just dumping questions on passersby. I feel very proud about that. Anyway, thanks all for tuning in. We'll be back again. Till then, Ballyho through time and space.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.